Amendment won. The weekend was a blur to me, and actually, I am so excited tonight to recount what the hell happened this weekend at MLG, the Spring Championships. I'm DJ Wheat. Welcome to episode 75 of Inside the Game. Joining me, as always, EG Thorzane, EG Suppy, and EG In Control. Gentlemen, hello.
AKA Inside the Lair.
What's up, dudes? How's it going?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Suppy, hello.
Goodbye.
No, seriously. Hello.
Hello.
How is MLG? We're going to talk a lot about it, but y'all made it back.
You know, best event ever, except that I lost, but otherwise the best.
Yes. Yeah. So we should probably just jump right into it. We're like 15 minutes late.
Whoa.
That was my fault. What?
Eight.
Sorry.
Wait a second.
What?
First. Wanted to say, before we jump right into things, I got home and I played the final 30 minutes of BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I like the end of the game. Big battle. Not really a particularly difficult one. And I'm not saying that it's like the guy who's like, play on the hardest difficulty, and for a challenge I decided to not watch, and it was still easy. Not like that, but it just simply wasn't sure. That difficult. But the story is really cool, and don't let anyone spoil it for you if you haven't played it yet, because it's a really, really good game, but it's got one of those super awesome Usual Suspects type ending, so you want to do that for yourself. That's my advice, and that's what I wanted to say before we got into StarCraft.
Right on. Does anyone else have any non-StarCraft stories they wanted to share that, you know, like, that was a touching one for me? Because I played, I know what Jeff went through, man. I'm like, a little bit of jealousy went through my body. I don't know, Suppy?
Suppy got
plays like Dance Dance Revolution, I think.
No, I don't have that anymore. Because it's in an apartment, so like if I did it, I tried it. I brought it, and then people downstairs like yelled at me, so it didn't work.
I believe it.
I've had that problem before, dude.
Yeah.
I've had that part. You got home, and then?
Got home, and then... Oh, me, Scarlet, Major, and Ghost User were casting WCS America thing like 2 hours before this. But then the official stream came on, so we had to like kill our stream.
Oh.
But that was fun. It was fun.
Nice. What about you, Thorzane? You're still in the U.S.?
You're muted.
I can't hear you, Thorzane.
Okay. So, well, yeah, I'm still in the U.S. I'll be here for a while.
Just been... Okay. Awesome.
What?
What?
Sound distant and quiet, and I kind of like it. It's adorable.
You sound a little quiet now.
Little Thorzane.
We could push your mic closer to your mouth.
We've been making Thorzane, like, work out his fingers because he's been sliding his volumes up and down and changing games.
Okay.
Yes.
Better.
Yes, yes.
Welcome.
Okay, perfect. My goal is to, before I leave the States, I want to reach GM rank 1 at least once.
Really?
Nice. How long do you have?
Are you going to stream
a month?
It? A month? Okay.
Oh, what the fuck? That's not that... Come on.
What?
I expect higher challenge from you. How about before you leave...
Well, I mean...
What?
What more...
GM rank 1 for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah, which means you have a week to do it, and then a week to, or 3 weeks to hold it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it.
Well, I thought you were going to be like, I've only got 2 weeks, but you're like, I've got a month. Good lord. Reach for the stars, Thorzane. Reach for the sky.
Okay, I'm going to play on Korean Ladder and reach rank 1 GM there.
Nice!
From NA.
That's what I like. All right.
Nice. Good job.
Because that's so easy.
Good job. That is easy. It is easy. You got that shit. Well, all right, well, before we talk about MLG, I'd like to talk about my trip home. Because today was, like, all sorts of freaking crazy. And part of the reason was that my flight was bad. And so I feel like it's my duty as a consumer to inform people, even though this is a show about StarCraft II, to not fly United. I am very much... not a fan. I apologize to the folks who secure sponsorship for Inside the Game and other One More Game programs. I'm pretty sure after what I say, United will never, ever be on board.
They don't listen to you, so it'll be
okay.
Fine.
Good. Good deal. You're right, because they got like four guys that run all of their customer service. So this story begins with a declaration of fact. I have really shitty luck when it comes to flying, okay? So I get to the airport, look at my phone. Sure enough, I see that there's that wicked 30-minute delay. And you guys have all traveled so much that you've been in that situation, and it's like, whatever, you know, like 30 minutes, hopefully it'll go off. It ends up being a 40-minute delay. And so I'm looking at this, I'm like, it's going to be a tight one, man. You know, like this one's going to be rough. But if we leave at the time that they say we're going to leave, which is pretty late, it'll make some time up in the air. We'll be all good. So they start to board the plane, and they're like,
ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, we've been selected. Our gate's been selected for a complete ID and random bag screening as we board the plane.
And I'm sitting there going, what the fucking fuck you're doing? Like, you're gonna check people's ID? Like, three times I've shown you mine. Yeah. Like, we're late, in case you didn't see that big flashing fucking delayed thing that's right there at the gate. I can feel myself getting red already, and it's only the beginning. So, of course, we do that, and we leave an hour and 15 minutes later. Right. So this was the most miserable 2 hours and 13 minutes in the air. There were people crying because, like, the stewardess is like,
we realize that you are like 50% of you have already missed your connecting flights in Denver. So we're going to do our best to make sure that we get you off the plane first so that we can get you on other flights.
So there's like, my son was just born, like people and like hysteria. And it was like madness. There was someone crying on this flight at any fucking giving moment, you right, and I'm just like, I'm trying to keep my composure. I'm like, chill. I'm getting into that realization that I probably won't make my connecting flight, and I'm gonna have to do it. And it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And then we land the plane, and then of course there's another plane at our gate, and then of course it takes them like 30 minutes to open the goddamn door. And I'm looking at my thing, and I'm like, it's 10 minutes, and people are crying all around me. And at this point, I'm like, it's 10 minutes. That's it. That's what happens. They shut the fucking plane doors, and it's over. So I'm getting off of the jet bridge. I'm almost done, guys.
I like it.
I'm getting off the jet bridge. And the lady's like, I need some papers. Like, she looks like she has a bunch of really official papers. Like, Like, you know, okay. She's looking at, like, she's like, oh. Are you from Omaha? And I'm like, yes, Omaha. Am I fucked? And she goes, no. They're holding the plane right now. And if you run on down to gate B-58, you're going to get on that plane and we're going to get you home. And I'm like, I'm just like, I don't even care what else she has to say to me. I just start running, you guys. And like, I'm running and putting myself and other people in danger. Like, I'm jumping over people's luggage. I shit you not. People would be like, oh, my God. Like, I can't even believe DJ Week can move that fast. And I'm huffing and puffing. And this 36-year-old fucking old man is running through and pushing people over and apologizing along the way. And as I get to gate 56, I can see the tail of the plane there. And as I come around the corner, the door is shut, and it says gate closed, and I find out from the guy that, no, they were never going to hold the plane. And that's, you know, like, I actually could keep
going. What kind of wheat is at that moment? Are you the indignant one?
No,
you start,
man,
yelling at him? Are you,
no,
quiet?
No, I'm the, like, yes, I'm the, suddenly it's like, so I walk over to customer service, boom, put down my ticket. I'm like, you know, I want you to rent me a car because it's going to take me as long to drive home as it would be to get in your fucking airplane and come back. She's like, sorry, sir, we can't do that because of the liability of what happens if you get in an accident on the way there. I'm like, the only accident I'm going to get in is if you're standing in the middle of the fucking road when I leave the rental car place, because I'm going to run your ass over. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has nothing to do with StarCraft 2.
Well, we got a quick one real quick.
It has everything to do with United.
And we got a United one.
Fuck them.
Real quick, United, okay? This is a quicker one.
Okay.
We're in the terminal. Anna's got our group together. It's like seven of us, Suppy, Alex Garfield, Cody, myself, a few others. And she's like, let's all sit together. It'll be more fun for this hour-long flight. We're like, okay, that's fine. So she goes to the desk and is like, hey, our friends would like to sit together if possible. And they're like, absolutely. Yeah, no problem. So they start typing away, and she comes back, and there's tickets with all of us together. We get on the plane, like 25 minutes later. We're all like, cool, we're sitting next to each other, awesome. And there's people sitting in our seats, and we're like, oh, they don't know yet. Okay, we walk up, and we're like, excuse me, sir, that's my seat. And they're like, no. And then they hold up their ticket, and it's the exact same one.
Oh, my God.
So then the stewardess walks over and is like, is there a problem here? And we're like, yeah, we all have the same tickets. And she's like, all right. And she, like, walks away. The entire plane loads before she comes back. Like, she's gone for 20 minutes, never comes back. Nobody says a word. And we're just, like, there's people, like, Sean's doing the awkward thing where he's, like, standing in front of someone who's sitting, you know, Anna's in some random seat. I'm sitting next to this guy that has the same ticket as me. So I'm just waiting for someone to come and take my seat because I'm clearly in the wrong seat. And the guy next to me starts telling me the story about how he's been trying to fly to Anaheim through United for a week. They keep... He's had three flights canceled. He had one delayed.
Oh, my God.
And he's on his fifth attempt. And when he's telling me the story, I'm like, where are you trying to fly to? Azerbaijan or some shit like that? And he's like, or Azerbaijan, whatever you say that. And he's like, no, I'm trying to fly to Anaheim from San Francisco. And I was like, holy shit. But long story short, they never correct it. We just sat in random seats. And, you know, because after like 20 minutes, like, fuck it.
Crushed this day.
Yeah, well, after 20 minutes, like, fuck it. We just want to get this plane off the ground. So it did end up happening, which was nice.
You know what?
That's our story.
Well, I'm pretty happy right now because after this little discussion, I just did some research. I see that the website unitedsucks.com doesn't exist yet, and so I think I'll make it. So, kick ass.
Of course, as you say that, it's getting bought out by under you right now.
That's okay. As long as it's reverse psychology, someone's going to be like, no, I'm going to make unitedsucks.com.
Is mine.
UnitedSucks.gg. All right. MLG. Let's just talk about MLG first. So let's rewind all the way back to day zero. Day zero. The pictures appear on the internet. People think the StarCraft II stage is small. Is the community going to be fucked over? Find out in day one. And even you had tweeted some stuff, and that was the rumors that people were hearing.
I know.
And
I have a whole story for that too.
Yeah, well, let's hear it. Let's start with that, man. Because,
well, first, yeah.
Well, okay, let me give a description of when I first walked in. Day zero, right? I call it day zero. It's when there's no one in the place, they're setting it up. And first, you gotta understand, if you didn't, I don't know that if you watched MLG, you actually were able to quite see how this was all set up. But instead of – you normally walk in through the doors of MLG, and you could see, like, the entire landscape. Like, you could see all three stages, and then everything fills in up to the stages. And at this event, what they had was, like, the StarCraft II stage – and then a long hallway where the other stages were the opposite direction. So you got to imagine that it was – what's the best way? It was kind of
like that.
It was kind of like that, right? It was an L. And it just, at first it was like, whoa, my eye, what the fuck is this? You know, the moment it filled up with people, it was completely fine. But that was actually kind of it was just different. I've been to so many MLG events. I've always been the same way. And it was like, whoa, they tried something different. But when I first saw it, the first thing I noticed was a lack of two screens. And, you know, normally there's the main screen observer and then the two FP screens, which were not there. And I think I think the stage is actually what it normally was anyway, but that made it also appear much smaller and also tighter because we were on stage. But I want to hear your thoughts, your stories about that, Jeff, and then everyone else.
Yeah, so kind of there's a whole bunch of learning and then also a fun little story in there that happened. I was told by some of the people that were there earlier, they were like, they've talked to me and they talked to people I'm around, and they're like, yeah, the stage is really small and we're crammed in the corner. It looks pretty bad. And I was like, and I've been hearing stuff like this for a while, just and sure. People have been hearing this too, just that, you know, StarCraft was perhaps maybe not even going to be at Anaheim, WCS getting handed off. Like, there was just, you know, kind of bad shit going on with MLG and StarCraft at the time. So I heard that and I was like, shit. So I made my typical, like, news reporty slasher-esque tweet where I'm just like, super secret word is the stage is really small. And this is where the learning experience came in, because I expect people to be like, no way, oh, that sucks, oh, you know, rabble, but that's it. Like, on Twitter, a few tweets, interesting, we lead into it, we find out if it's real or not. What ends up happening is it goes near the top of Reddit, it's like number 2, 5-page thread on Team Liquid, and people are like, you should have known that with your fan base that this could happen. And in retrospect, they're absolutely right. And to be honest with you, I know this sounds like a cop-out, but to be brutally honest, when I make tweets like that, when I say stuff like that, I'm not thinking this will go to the top of Reddit. That's not actually what I'm trying to do. It's happened enough times now where the error is obviously on my part. So with those kind of things, I'm going to try and be more careful, because I didn't want that. We don't need that kind of negative attention going into an MLG. Because the stage was smaller, but not so much so that it's like time to blow the horns and start getting people really upset, because it just simply wasn't. So that's the learning experience. The fun story comes in, and I'm going to name drop it because I feel pretty safe that I can also do him justice. But the second I make that tweet, Adam Apicella, the basically the number 2 guy at MLG, who's basically running that weekend because Sundance isn't there, is like, "Yo, what the fuck? Why'd you do that? Like, why would you even say that without seeing it?" And I responded back like pretty snarky and control, like, "Well, it's bad." You know, we had a little bit of exchange, nothing really mean or terrible, but the basic gist of it was, I thought it was true. I had heard it was true, so I was reporting something, and he didn't like that I was given bad press without having seen it. So he was quite upset. So flash forward to day one, and this is where the funny part comes in, I guess. I'm standing there waiting to get my bracelet, and Adam Apicella walks by. And if you guys don't know who Adam Apicella is, he's, like I said, he's kind of like the number 2 guy at MLG. He's a big country boy, very big on lifting, very big on football, very big sports. He's a muscular guy. He walks up with the kind of pissed off face that nerds are like parting the sea from. Like, he's looking like he's about to punch a hole through my head. Taps me on the shoulder without looking at me, still walking, and says, "Come with me." And I'm like, whoa, like, this guy is super serious. So I kind of smile and I go with him. We go past the line into the MLG that's empty at this point in time. And he flips around. And for about 5 seconds, I thought, because I actually kind of have this like reaction, I was like, "Oh, we're supposed to fight now. Like, we're going to fight to the death right fucking now. Adam Apicella versus Jeff Robinson control. It's go time." He's just like, "Yo, what the fuck? What the shit was that? Like, what do you?" He was really mad. So I feel okay name dropping this, because the basic gist of it was, we ended up hugging it out, and I was like, the gist of it is, if you don't know Adam, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He cares more than just about anybody else. And he was hurt that me, someone close to the information, close to the company, would what appeared to be attack the company and spread something really bad. And I clarified that I would never try to hurt them directly, and that I was just upset that perhaps we had a smaller stage. We ended up hugging it out. But the reason it's a funny story is because for 2 seconds, In Control almost died to the hands of the MLG co-guy. He almost killed me.
I mean, let me just throw this out here, because, like, I mean, it seems only natural that people would kind of respond in that way, but it's a great example of how we as a community can sort of like jump to an immediate reaction. Because let me tell you something. The first match, the chairs were full, the people were cheering, and it didn't matter how big or how little that stage was, because it still was like the complete package. Yes. And honestly, like, I guarantee you 20 minutes into the show, of course, there was a focus and attention went to a lot of other areas. Instantly, that was like not even an issue. And so I can understand how it's like, guys, let's celebrate the fact that there's about to be a fucking amazing tournament and just let it happen. And I'll be honest, there's
a learning curve there, because I originally like had that interaction with Adam and I was like, okay, you know, maybe I should be more fair. Then I saw the stage and I was like, nope. That's smaller. It's one screen. We're crammed in the corner. We're kind of away from the main chunk of MLG. So I kind of got my StarCraft II defensive upsetness up again. Obviously, I didn't tweet, but I was feeling that. But you're right. The second the show started, nothing was missing from any of the other MLGs. The stage was adequate. The fans, the chairs, it was all great. And we were in a weird askew corner, but it's not like there wasn't foot traffic. It was standing room only on Sunday, and people, you know, filled the space. So it was fine.
So, Seppi and Thorzane, you guys want to chime in relation to other MLG events? How did you, you know, did you feel the same way, like, overall, the event?
If anything, I even thought it was better than normal because, I mean, first of all, the MLG Anaheim crowd is amazing. So, in comparison to other MLGs, it definitely felt really, really awesome. And even the smaller stage, I don't know, I felt like everything being closer together actually kind of made it cooler as well, in that, you know, this was the first time that the casters were actually on the stage. I think people right. really, really...
Well, I mean, technically we were on the stage, but it wasn't a part of the stage,
mm-hmm.
which I still think it was cooler to be right there in the action. I don't know.
Yeah, I think people definitely enjoyed that. And I don't know, being closer together and, like, being more crowded, I don't know, when the cheers go off, it's, like, magnified, so... I thought it was still really, really great. Although I still think having the player perspectives would have been nice because everybody likes to see what the players are seeing. But yeah, I thought Anaheim was a great event, and I didn't in any way feel that the stage was like diminished right. or anything.
What Thorzane? What about
I
you?
Thought, like when I first entered the venue and searched for the StarCraft area, I was like, oh shit, we're like. StarCraft 2 is the past. Like, it felt like we're sitting in the corner where, like, the Street Fighter would sit before. We're like, oh, shit. We're so, like, this is bad.
We've fallen as low as Street Fighter.
No, what I like even more is that it was, like, Mortal Kombat.
Insignificant. Yeah. But then, when, like, and also the player's area, like, it didn't have the Stage 1 and Stage 2. Like, I don't know what to call those. They're, like, the... Where you play, they always have at MLG, like, you play,
right.
and people can stand behind you and watch. There's, like, big screens above you, and you're, like, on a tiny stage, I guess. You guys know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like those featured stages, right?
Yeah.
Featured stages.
And those, I missed those, but overall, it was, like, a really, really good event, and the atmosphere was amazing. There was a lot of fans watching, a lot of, like, cool signs, as always, like, I've been to MLGs where, like, the seats aren't filled up, even when there's really good games, but it was really, really hard to find anywhere to sit when there was, like, good players playing.
Which is kind of a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get to experience this, but before we, like, kind of talk about the games themselves and some of the things that happened, I know that I actually saw all of you guys at one point or another in the crowd. The lights and the sound, can you guys, like, break it down? Because I heard a lot of shit, a lot of complaints about the lights and the sound. And I didn't actually get ever a chance to sit out there long enough to experience what was going on. But I heard it so much. I was like, I got to imagine you guys experienced it. What?
I didn't notice anything at all. Like, I didn't notice. Yeah, I just heard, like, when I got home, online. Like, people were, like, whining.
Yeah.
The only sound issue I had was, like, in the players area, sometimes there would be, like, the stream sound would be, like, you know, the really
when the
white
microphone
noise
went
static
like,
thing?
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while it'd be, like, really, really loud in your ears. And
yeah.
Like, even if you were playing, you would still hear it. But, like, sitting in the crowd watching the stream, I didn't notice anything at all. Not with the lights either.
Okay.
Yeah, there was complaints. I guess online sound had an echo for the longest time, which is something that can happen at a live event because that's like one of the 1 million wires that's just got a bad connection or whatever. But that was plaguing the online thing. The player area, like he said, which player area, it's kind of a big deal because a lot of people go to line up around there to watch games. So it's not like it's just the players that were affected, but a good couple hundred people also were disturbed because every time Ryan Moore would be like, I need Huck to the mic, he would go, boom! And like people like they thought they were getting attacked, and then it would just crackle randomly a few times after that because it's just a bad speaker, probably hurricane speaker actually, or tornado rather.
If anyone has a link to a VOD that has the echo that's, like, really, I'd love to hear it. Just because I don't know, but that sucks.
Yeah.
Actually, the echo, I did watch some VODs when I got home, and I did hear the echo.
You did?
Yeah. It wasn't, yeah, it was kind of annoying, but it definitely wasn't super, like, you could definitely still watch the games.
Right. Right.
Those things happen. I want to repeat or echo, as it were, Thorzane's sentiment. Yeah, see how I did that
sure.
there. Just a gigantic shout out to Anaheim, but also I think in the greater whole, almost like StarCraft II audiences. Like one of the coolest parts about being a host or attending DreamHack is that I feel like the Swedish audience is really, really, in large part, plugged into gaming, so they understand. When something really exciting is happening, they understand, you know, like storylines. They're kind of, they know the scene. So they're a really engaging, supportive, but also enthusiastic audience. And it's awesome. And I've always felt like that was missing a little bit at MLGs because there would be like a stalker would blow up to a widow mine like at the minute 25 mark, middle of the map, and people would like blow up and cheer. But it's not a time to do, like, stalker died. Not really a big deal. That's just a terrible example, I guess. But at this MLG at Anaheim, this
you
audience,
always celebrate the death of a stalker, Jeff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This audience was absolutely amazing, like absolutely amazing. They were cheering enthusiastically. They were standing. They were doing chants. They were like it felt like a sporting event, and it felt like a really well populated, excited sporting event. And I got to tell you, for the live experience, but even for people at home, it makes the event. It really, really does. So just a gigantic shout out to what everyone already knows, which is that MLG Anaheim is one of the best events to ever attend. So everyone that was in that audience, thank you, because you guys are awesome. But then also, just as taking a moment, like it's just kind of cool that we're there. Like StarCraft II has finally been around for a few years. It's been popular for long enough where enough people follow it that when you attend a live event, it's like life-changing awesome. For people that don't go to live events, make sure you make it out to
right.
one because they are special these days.
So to go along with that, there was a couple points during the weekend, and this is going to be a weird, but you know, the Call of Duty crowd, you gotta understand that, like, because they came out in full force, it actually did make, as Suppy said, the whole event better. Because there was a couple times where, like, we were sitting in the back, and there was one moment in particular. I was in back with, like, JP, and it was during one of TSM's matches at League. And what happened was there was this little, just like this rolling cheer that kind of started over in League of Legends, and then something massive happened in Call of Duty. And then all of a sudden there was, like, the end of a game in StarCraft II, and it just, it went through. It was almost deafening, but you could actually feel the whole place just kind of, like, vibrate a little bit every time one of these sort of triple event happened. It was actually unlike anything I had ever experienced at an MLG specifically. You know, I think that that's going to be really hard to recreate in Ohio. I hope it can be done because Anaheim has always proved to be that super energetic, amazing event. But yeah, that aspect of it was bar none. I met a guy from Egypt. He's like, I came out from Egypt. He's like, I think I chose the right event. I'm like, dude, yeah, you did, man. You really did. And a lot of people were saying that, so that was badass.
I have to agree.
What is it about Anaheim that makes it so good? Like, the previous MLG Anaheim was my favorite MLG.
You know,
I think it's
definitely
the
and this
central
one was
area
like,
of people. Like, there's a lot of esports fans in California. And if you're in San Francisco, L.A., or Anaheim, all large populaces, you'll travel to MLG Anaheim. As opposed to, like, when you're in Columbus, it's not pulling from the same kind of big central places where people live, I feel like that's a big deal.
I think it was also, I would almost describe it, Thorzane, as, like, there was a perfect storm. Because, you know, the StarCraft was something different. It was, like, kind of a throwback to the old school. The Call of Duty just coming off of the championship is suddenly, you know, like, really exciting. They had max full teams, so a lot of people came and spectate and played in that. And then the LCS for League of Legends is, you can't watch it live in the U.S. unless they have an event like this. And that drew in an enormous amount of people. So all of those things combined, and the fact that Anaheim has always been one of those super high-attended events, I think just shot the attendance out of the
place. Not always, Weed.
What?
Actually, part of the reason they came back to Anaheim in 2000, I want to say 11, because a couple of years before that, they were spurned by the worst attendance they've ever had for MLG at Anaheim.
But was that pre-StarCraft II?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. It's just that it's interesting that the gaming climate has changed where, for whatever reason, whatever mixture of games they had, whatever production they were putting on, it was one of the things that they left. They did not go back to Anaheim for a few years.
So
I'm wondering... Oh,
no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm wondering, like, if there is such good attendance and, like, such a great turnout at these events, especially in California, if they would ever consider doing more events in these, like, areas, like, in the surrounding area. I know it's, like, a circuit, so they travel around the whole thing, but maybe it'd be worthwhile to do one in, like, San Francisco or something.
Right.
No, I don't think San Francisco, but he's tweeted that he's teasing the idea of Seattle, which is just far enough north that you're going to attract a different group. Because you never want to double up.
I have a theory about that, though, San Francisco. I have a theory about the three cities that they tweeted.
Lay it on us.
Okay, so here's my theory, which I do like this, if it turns out to be, you know, even remotely true. But he mentions three cities. This was in a tweet from Sundance where he said, you know, for those of you saying that it's too long between the spring championship and the event in November, you know, we've got some other stuff in the works. So it was sort of like one of those tweets. And then he mentioned three cities. Like, I wonder if they're going to maybe try a one-off event. Like, what if they just did a little bit smaller StarCraft-only event or a little bit smaller Call of Duty event? And not because, you know, like, if they're going to be doing League and some of these other games and they have to coincide with WCS or LCS, like, that must be difficult to work with. And that is a long time in between events. They're not doing WCS anymore. They were doing the arenas before, which were their also one-off events. So I wonder if they might have, like, a traveling arena, which I think would be really awesome. Because imagine if the arenas were in front of people.
Awesome, but for the purpose of this show, I would tell you that I think of the games they're carrying right now, it's most likely that they would not include StarCraft in a one-off event. I think if anything, they would partner and do a Call of Duty event. And then I fully agree with you that it would be really hard to run anything Riot because they have their LCS. And, like, you either do a big LCS thing or you're not doing an event. There's no other LoL tournaments that I've ever heard of. But they've been... Like, one of the subjects we should get into eventually is they're pretty bitter about StarCraft, and I don't think they like the idea of paying to put a game on that other games are paying them to put on. So I don't know that we would see an MLG Seattle that's just StarCraft.
You know,
I would highly doubt it.
Dude, when you have an event like Anaheim where the turnout's good and the stream numbers across all the stream are good, like, do you really go back on that? Like, I mean, I understand, like, there's always some weird air about WCS and its effect on all these organizations, especially considering MLG went in there. But, you know, I don't know.
I would love to be wrong, but my guess
I'd love
is that
to be
Columbus,
wrong.
Columbus, we will see StarCraft, because I think they would be stupid to remove StarCraft. I think despite paying and of course making less off StarCraft than they do, say, Call of Duty or League, I think they get so much legitimacy and so much, like, robustness, if you will, by hitting all the major games with having StarCraft on their bill. But when it comes to the one-off events that they're teasing that's not announced, that's like something that they could work on, their big cash cow is not a StarCraft II event. It's hosting a Call of Duty or maybe a LoL. And again, I would love to be wrong, but this is what I'm hearing. This is what I think is true.
Do we know what all the cities are yet? I just saw the tweet
no,
you put
up. Yes. Vegas, New York City, and Seattle. We're just like the three... You know, and like, okay, imagine this. Let me dive further. I'm opening up the hole.
Do it.
Vegas won't be Call of Duty.
Would For make, what reason?
Makes zero sense because there are still too many underage Call of Duty players.
Very good point.
So that makes no sense. You know what does make sense in Vegas?
StarCraft
2.
Because it's the classiest effing game in the world, Wheat.
So
classiest
that's
game, and there's an element of risk.
Yeah,
so there's the gambling comparison to make.
Yeah. And New York City? I think...
Oh, that would be COD. Tons of kids know how to shoot guns there.
Seattle? That's the one I don't know. You know, it's close to Seattle. Company
Canada.
Called Valve.
Oh, okay. Them too.
Way to go. Way to go.
So Dota?
They've been talking about Dota for a while. They've been hinting at it as well. But the thing is, we could do a whole show on Sundance hints. Like, that guy, I swear to God, I've seen him tweet in response to Greg that they're making a Pokemon MMO, and he's been in talks with people. To give you an idea of like how scattershot Sundance's ejaculate is on the esports.
I don't know. I was...
He's like, you guys like... what's that fucking... zombie plant game?
Plants versus zombies.
Plants versus zombies. I know of an FPS that's coming up. I'm in talks with the owner.
That game actually looks awesome. But
guys, quick question for Infinite Crisis. Do you want a $10 million competition or just five? Tweet at me, at Sundance. Let me know what you think.
Can you make it 20? Yes, we can. It's Warner Brothers.
Hashtag... sorry, not sorry about it.
Did you get a chance to play that at MLG?
No.
I got a chance to play when they had Shoot Mania. I thought that game was great.
Did you see it, Thorzane?
No, I never heard of it.
Oh, it's the one.
It looked like Big.
It's the one with the DC characters. Yeah.
Oh, DC characters.
Oh, okay.
Green Lantern. His ultimate is that he just summons this fucking jet from out of the sky that falls on a giant area. It's pretty fantastic.
Sweet. All right. Keep your personal sponsorships off inside the game. Sure, you're very excited about Infinite Crisis.
So excited.
I don't get it.
He's just trolling me, and I think it's fucking hilarious.
Got him.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about. Let's talk about your guys's. I mean, it's pretty rare. We've had a couple of shows in the past. I want to hear, Thorzane, you start with a. You start. Let's hear about your road through MLG, your MLG experience. I'm bringing up the brackets right now. We're going to recount the games.
I lost to Koi Rice in the second round, and I don't know. I really have no excuses. I just felt I didn't get excited to play the game. So I was just like, oh, okay, let's play some games. Like, la 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 la. Like, let's make a depot. Not nervous at all. Like,
right.
Kind of the other side of the spectrum. I was like, whatever.
Maybe
and then
too
I lost.
Relaxed.
No adrenaline.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know. That never happened to me before. And then kind of the same thing after.
Wait,
like, in the loser's bracket as well.
Did Koi Rice pick Zerg against you?
He played one with each race.
One with Zerg and one with Terran?
Yeah.
Did that make it harder?
No, not really. Well,
it's hard.
Like, the only thing would be like vetoing maps, but I just like he didn't do anything weird, so it was just like playing like another Zerg and playing like another Terran. I wouldn't have any special things planned for Koi Rice, like if he was playing only Tyran or only Zerg.
I thought they do play, like, because I know Koi and Tilia are like very, very similar. They always talk with each other, and both of them play two races like that. And I thought they played like it's kind of standard. They're Zerg versus Tyran, but they like also do some weird things that might like confuse you. Like they get like a really fast fourth hatchery. Like I said, I've seen Tilia go.
Well,
like,
I did
four
CC first, and he did. Four hatch before pool, yeah.
Yeah, four hatch before pool, yeah. Like, kind of weird stuff like that.
He had so
it's always scary
speed,
playing
though.
Players. I'm sorry.
So, well, I don't know. Like, just wasn't playing... I wasn't playing bad. I just wasn't playing good either.
And then you got dropped down into round two of the lower bracket. You played Koali. Did you just crush Koali?
Yeah, I think so, yes. And then, is he someone I should know of?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. You beat him 2-0. He's an American Zerg. You kind of laughed when he said, so I'm guessing you had like a game of just crush, right? What is it like to play someone like that?
It's fun, like, because you get to feel like so superior in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't remember that game specifically, but remember I played, like, yeah, it just feels like good, winning, not having to, like, do much for it. But okay. And then I lost to Illusion.
Well, wait, then you face Dragon.
Oh, yeah, Dragon, I played Dragon.
2-1, talk to me about that game.
First game, I kinda, like, we're both gonna cheese each other, but he scouted my cheese while I didn't scout his, and it was the same thing. And then, like, he just stayed at home and defended my cheese, killed everything, and then just killed me with, like, counter-attack. It was a really short game. Second and third game, I think, they were macro games, and I managed to win those. Nothing fancy, just mech against mech. Dropping hellbats, a little over the place.
And then you faced Illusion in round four.
First game, I scouted everything, and I, like, he was going for gas first, and when he lifted his factory to swap to his reactor, I built an eBay there, blocking that for, like, 30 seconds. I was, like, in a really good position. Then I defended his attack. He did, like, Hellions and tried to ghost nuke me, like, nuke rush me. I killed the ghost. But then I started, like, I take two Glock Banshees, and I took a third base, and he was still on one base. Like, I had three bases against one, but he just had more units. Because I expected him to expand, but he never did. It was like 10 minutes into the game.
Were you...
One second, I can't remember.
Were you disappointed to go out in round four?
Yeah, of course. Like, this is the worst MLG performance I've ever had. And I don't feel in, like, great shape, but I don't feel, like, bad either. Like, every single MLG I've attended, I've at least made it to the, like... to the group stages from open bracket, and I guess there wasn't any group stages here, but losing in round 3, losing in round 2, and then in round like 3 or 4 in the losers bracket is of course very disappointing.
Illusion eliminated you, right?
Yeah.
And Illusion went on to lose then, I believe, to Sage. Was it Sage? I don't quite remember. I have to look. So overall, you would say not your best MLG performance, and you don't quite.
Yeah, like
Yu-Gi-Oh! Obviously.
Yeah, just bad. Like, I'm not happy about it.
Okay. All right. We'll come back. All right, Suppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's your turn.
MLG Anaheim was my breakout performance last year, so I was really looking forward to have a good tournament. I came into this tournament feeling more comfortable with my matchups than I did for DreamHack, so I was thinking I'd do pretty well. And I ended up doing, I'd say for me, I felt like I did decently. I would have preferred to do better, but I also didn't do like really bad or anything. I beat the Muslim, who is someone I play in practice. And I'm literally 0-15 against him on practice. You'll see me playing him on stream all the time, and I never beat him. He just like A-moves me, and I die. So it was nice to beat him there. But regarding those games, I think maybe Demuslim has a little bit of kind of like nerve issues or mentality issues when it goes into tournaments. He's always been a ladder hero, but hasn't had the greatest tournament results recently. I'm not sure if you saw those games. But Major, this is a context for me going into the game against Pult, is Major told me to 6-pull Ben because Ben wouldn't know how to hold it off. And so I 6-pulled him, and I got a free win first game from it. And second game, he played pretty scared against me, probably because I opened so aggressively the first game. And so I was able to take that match. And then I played Pult next on main stage, which was cool. I think you casted that, Marcus?
I did, yeah.
So that's what happened the first game. I was
so
chatting.
So it worked versus the Muslim in the round earlier.
Yeah.
And then, see, I didn't know that. I thought that maybe you had heard that Pult is going to open CC first and on the low ground, and this would absolutely crush that.
Yeah, so pretty much Major told me, I was talking to Major the whole time and a bunch of my other like Zerg people, like Hendralisk.
Zerg people.
Yeah, my Zerg peoples. So he was saying that you still win, even if they do CC first on high ground, as long as they don't know to do the eBay block. And then as soon as I got to the base, Polt did the eBay block immediately, so he knew exactly how to hold it off. And so from there, I was like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do now. So that kind of sucked.
Damn it. Wait, 6 pool against CC first in the high ground?
Mm-hmm. Because if you target the racks fast enough, the barracks just dies and then you run in. But smart players will know to build an eBay. Normally, you have to build two eBays, so it's a little bit harder for them. But that map was terrible because he just had to build one eBay to hold it off.
For those that are asking, the CC is built next to the supply depot on above the ramp. And then, like Seppi said, you use the racks to wall it off, but that also means that 6 Zerglings can eat at that racks. If you put the eBay right behind it, then there's no way it can get through, is what he's saying. So,
yeah, because the eBay will finish in time, and then you can repair it. The reason you focus the racks is because you can't repair it. It just gains HP from being built, but you can't repair.
What do you mean? Like, you build, instead of the barracks, you build an eBay?
No, you let the barracks die. And you cancel it right before it dies, but the whole time you were building an eBay behind it, so eBay is already done by the time you...
Okay, describe me, like, a spawning position and where the barracks are, because I don't see, like, how one eBay can block a barracks, like, because usually you'd have to build, like, 3 eBays to block around that.
Yeah, normally it can't, but that's why Akalon was such a bad... Well, normally you need 2 eBays, that's what Major told me, but it was Akalon, and I was bottom right, he was top left, and... He had his racks on the left, CC in the middle, and then racks supply depot on the right. And you could just build 1 eBay, so it was even more like cheap for him to hold it off. Normally, if you hold it off with 2 eBays, it's harder, but you can still do it. So yeah, that's basically what happened.
I see.
What were you guys saying when I 6 pulled? I was curious.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about your 6 pulling, and then it was all about we.
He was like, he can't keep up with him in the macro game. He has to do this in order to try to win because he's a significantly worse player. Day 9, your thoughts, and he's like, Suppy just doesn't have the brain power to multitask
that
with Polt.
That was
it's his
much,
best track.
That was like word for word, which I'm surprised he was able to memorize all of that.
Yeah. I think at one point they called you a shit face. They just didn't like your. They just didn't like your face. Like, I don't like the look of Suppy's
you
wide
know,
open.
Because Suppy, like, you know, there's, like, in sort of the art of casting, a part of it is, like, building drama. So you build the drama automatically by building a 6 pool. But then, of course, we're like, is Polt going to build on the low ground? And then you see all of a sudden the rally go to the top. And he's like, no, it's the high ground. Suppy's fucked. And then, you know, it went from there. So... But you made it the best because normally it's just like an awkward GG and we're like, yeah, so that was weird. But when you said, damn it, Juan, like that was a good exit strategy. So well done in that regard.
Because the whole game, I was talking to him the whole game before and he was like, trust me, like all caps. He was, trust me, it's going to work. Trust me. And I like took his word for it because it worked against the Muslim. And all 3 and Terran CC first now. So
damn it, Juan.
Yeah, damn it, Juan.
Damn it, Juan is like the new fuck slasher, I feel like. It's really...
No.
No?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, so continuing on, this, of course, you make it to round 4, which does mean that you end off in the in the lower bracket, you know, further on, and you have to play versus stats.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about this game.
So going into it, I really thought... I just thought he was like a god, kind of like super, super good Kespa player, obviously like super hyped, and he beat all those amazing players in the Kespa qualifier.
Like
so,
Hello Kitty as well. He beat Hello Kitty on his way to
Facebook. Yeah.
Did that worry you at all?
Yeah, I mean, the law of the transitive property.
If he beats Hello
Kitty,
you forever,
Hello Kitty beats me.
Hello Kitty is, he beat you 4-2, so I guess that makes him... That makes him twice as good. No, 66% better than you.
Yeah.
Right. So, in the stats.
Yeah. So I went in against him, and after the first game, I pretty much was winning the whole time, and I lost like 22 overlords to 5 Phoenix. There was, or no, sorry, one, like, each of his Phoenix had like over 20 kills each.
Oh my god.
Because I was playing really badly, but after the first game, I was like, wow, he's not as amazing as I expected. But I think I kind of got the same thing that Thorzane was talking about. Like, I had gone into the match, like, just assuming I'd already lost, and I wasn't playing, like, I didn't get any adrenaline or any, like, nerves or anything. I just, like, went in and started playing. And I think I just played really badly. Like, the reason his Phoenix got so many kills, I sent every single Overlord over to his base on accident. And this is when I was about to, like, kill him almost. And so he killed every Overlord. I was, like, 200 supply out of, like, 90. Cause, like,
did you ever think about not sending your Overlords to his base?
Yeah.
You ever seen Adventure Time, Suppy?
I've heard of it.
Sometimes you sound like the Lumpy Princess. I really like it.
Lumpy,
it's not gonna make
Lumpy Princess.
Won't make sense to you right now, but later look up Lumpy Space Princess.
What's the Lumpy?
I can't answer that question.
She's got cancer or what?
What is Lumpy referring to?
Just watch the episode.
I'm gonna say something fun like, oh yeah, I'm having a fun time. Oh my gosh, probably the best time I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, what?
That's a Lumpy princess?
Yeah, it's a Lumpy Space Princess.
How am I the Lumpy Space Princess?
I said, have you ever thought about not sending earlier than you're like, oh yeah, like, sometimes I've thought about it.
TIL.
I'm gonna not do that, but then I did.
I did not talk like that.
Yeah, I did not talk like that.
Can't unsee.
Go on, please.
You're still talking about stat, and then you lost. So tell me about what you think overall, your performance. You said you broke out last year. Did you feel like you lived up to it? Overall, your thoughts on it.
Like I said, I think it was an okay performance. I got like top 24. So that's not bad, but I also want to like do better, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but I was really, really happy with the event overall. And open bracket, I think, is so, so good. And I get to see all my friends. And I just think it makes the whole event way more interesting and more fun. So
props to MLG to an open bracket.
Yes. Okay. I'd like to extend my deepest gratitudes to MLG for bringing that back in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so much better than an invitational. So much better. Especially for the part where you said about like meeting people.
Yeah.
There's no one at this invitational. There's only the invited players. Here's there's 100, was it 128 players?
Yes, I think there were.
Yeah. So much more fun.
Yeah.
And better games, I think, too, because like it makes the whole thing more exciting, in my opinion. There's always going to be this, like, oh, you never expected this guy to do so well, and now he's kicking ass.
Yeah, you know, like, there's something to be said, and Jeff will, of course, go through your run, but there's definitely something to be said about, like, you know, it can get a little player-heavy for some people as they're progressing through, you know, but I did think it was a pretty good job overall. There's, like, a lot of different folks up on the stage overall, which is kind of cool as well. When we started off with the championship brackets and we always had these amazing matches right off the bat, never ever got to showcase any of the other, you know, games going on. So
yeah. Before we move on to Jeff's run.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Major and Ghost User for helping me and like strategizing stuff. Cause they were pissed that I didn't give them a shout out in an interview. So there's your shout out.
Okay.
Bitches.
What about? I'm looking at a picture right now that has QXC next to you. Do you need to give him a shout out? Were you talking to him about any? You know, do you feel like I'm just because over here, I see like, you know, Sasquatch and State and
Cats
like helping you out, and I feel like you need to give them you know a shout out as well. Like, why are you? Okay,
I just shout out to everybody.
I mean, they look nice. Like they're helping you.
Yeah.
Suppy, I'm just...
There's too many to list. I don't know what to do now.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to everybody.
All right. No, I'm just playing anyway.
Are those ESFI or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Nope, those are ESFI.
Fall into the abyss.
Who documented every single person that helped you this weekend so that you can send them a thank you card. Jeff in Control Robinson.
Hello. So this MLG was interesting for me. This is the first time I was competing at an MLG as a fully playing as a professional gamer is definitely my second or third role. So it was interesting. I still played a lot going into this. I still trained. I narrowed down builds. Like, I didn't take this off. This was not like a vacation weekend for me. I wanted to do well. So it's kind of an interesting mix of emotion because I was a little bit more stress-free going into it than in the past. In the past, I've like lost a head of hair and been nerve-wracked the entire time and, you know, like antisocial beforehand. But this time I was okay. So it was kind of cool because I was glad to be able to be in that state of mind because I really absorbed everything MLG. Like, I really appreciated the audience. It was a lot more fun to meet so many people. And I always talk about meeting people, but Anaheim's the one you want to be ready to do that because there's so many fans there, thankfully. Just so many people that are really excited about the games we play and the people that play them. So I had a whole lot of really fun experiences. I had guys trying to buy me drinks the first night of the weekend, and I had to say no. One really funny interaction that was really funny is we were walking back to the hotel like to drop off bags or something on day one, and a guy walked out with a Starbucks something that was like half whipped cream and caramel and chocolate. It just looked amazing. And I was walking by and it just fell out of my face. But I was like, that looks delicious. The guy, without skipping a frickin' beat, all right, like he was born to do this, turns around and says, do you want it? Do you want this? And like, I was raised that when you're offered something, the polite thing to do is to turn it down and say no thanks. And that's done me well in some situations, but it's also served me wrong. This happened so fast that he offered it, and I shot him down, and then his face went pained that I just kept walking. I was like, damn, I might have hurt that guy's feelings, who was just trying to be awesome. So if that guy's listening, thank you for offering. I appreciate that. Sorry I couldn't take it. But that was kind of cool. Just cool people in Anaheim. But as far as my run's concerned, I played a guy named General SE2. This is actually I've told this story a few times. This is kind of funny. I played a guy named General SE2 in the first game, and I knew that my second round opponent was probably going to be Mao's Illusion. So I did this thing where I'm like, all right, what would a pro gamer do? A pro gamer against the easier opponent that he'll probably beat will show a funny build because Mao's Illusion will check the builds and be like, oh, In Control does one base blink stalkers. LOL, prepare for that. So game one against this, like, high masters, but not, like, top. He's not, like, you know, going on grandmaster. He's, like, eighth in his division or something like that. Game number one, I'm blinking around like a mad dog. It's not really doing damage. Okay, that's fine. We'll go to the mid-game. I've got pretty good tech. Neoplanet S. Guy stims, moves in. I miss a force field, murders my natural, starts killing me, starts dropping my main. And this, like, cold sweat realization's hitting me that I'm like, it's game number one at MLG, and I'm about to get downed by a, like, not even, you know, like, no disrespect to General SC2, but this guy is not, he's not on the radar of other teams' academies, you know.
It's so okay, like, man. Argh! Just keep shitting, Jeff.
Yeah.
Come on.
Making it worse.
Use your boots.
So I lose game one. And I think if I didn't have so much experience at tournaments, that would have been a really, really upsetting moment. But I didn't really panic, and I just kind of stayed calm. And then for games two and three, I was extremely boring and super safe macro, and I ended up holding off his, like, two base, grab every one of your effing SCVs and just attack move with everything you got, which is actually really scary on Belshir Vestige, and I think it was Whirlwind. But I was able to hold it off, and I win. So the next series against Illusion, this is what kind of made my tournament for me. I'm not going to lie. They called me up to the main stage, and I had that, like, Splash Mountain at Disneyland, heart-sinking, gut-wrenching feeling of, like, whoa, this is a big deal. Like, I'm back up on stage, which is really cool for me because I never really expected to be back up there. And Illusion was the favorite, for sure. Just on paper, but also I knew it. He's the better player. So I was excited for the opportunity, but then I was also a little bit worried because Noni got Maximus Black, and I'm getting Illusion. I'm like, come on, universe! Like, I could have gone for a better second round to win on stage with. But anyways, first game was a little bit upsetting because on Neo Planet S, I played it pretty well. And there's a point there where I was actually pretty significantly ahead. I don't know that a lot of people know that because it's a little bit of a deceiving PvT moment. But when he attacked into my natural and I had picked off most of his Vikings and had his army routed heading back home, that's a pretty big win moment for Protoss. Like, they have to work pretty hard to lose from there. And one of the ways you can work hard to lose from there is to delay your third or overextend and attack away from a warp in and lose your army. I went for the latter. I decided to end up attacking past my reach, essentially, and once you lose your Protoss army, you're dead. But so that was disappointing because I think a better, more savvy version of myself would have handled that better and perhaps win game number one against Illusion, which would have been really cool. And then game number two, of course, is the one that everyone talks about, and that's...
Hero DTs.
That one's... yeah, it was crazy for me because so often has my MLG been described by, like, really optimistic going into it, really excited. Maybe this is my tournament. I've beaten people in practice. I could do it here. But then I start playing, and game number one doesn't quite go my way. Then game number two, I fall on my face, and then it's embarrassing. And that's how this game started out. Like, I did Proxy Oracle. It did zero damage.
Yeah.
He starts Hellion harassing me. I did an okay job juking it at first, but then I make one mistake, and 10 probes get fried. And I could feel it in-game where I'm like, ah, shit, this is another one of those series where people pat you on the back and are like, you know, good effort, Jeff. Your stream's great, and you're a good caster, you know, and you're like, oh, this is going to suck. Yeah, this is going to suck. But then the game, like, I just kind of kept fighting on, and I took a good engagement as natural, and I realized I'm getting mech'd. And my formula, and I've said this on stream, it's kind of a known thing. When I face mech, I drop a Dark Shrine. I just always do. They are very mule heavy. They cut their SCVs. They bring some of their SCVs out, so it doesn't take much to disrupt their economy. And then individual tanks getting in on their low tank count can really neuter their force. Like, old mech used to be 20 tanks, Thors, and then some Hellions. But now it's like 45 Hellbats with 5 tanks. The tanks are a smaller part of it, but they're a big part of it because you can't get at them. So if your DTs can cut down their tanks, then it's just a bunch of Hellbats, so you'll still die, but at least you won't die to tanks. So that was my game plan. But I kind of realized that it was at the Hail Mary moment in time where it's like, I can't really do much about his army because his economy is so much better than mine. So I better send 5 DTs into his bases. And they did the job. And I actually told this story, so I want to tell it real quick to wrap up. I'm proud of myself because in this game, I had a really cool moment that I showed improvement where in the past. So in the past, 2 things in competition for me fall off and are really bad. I don't scout as well in competition, and I'm not as patient. And in this game, kind of like in the Star Wars movie where, like, Luke Skywalker has the tracking system come down to shoot the proton torpedo
right
inside the Death Star, but then fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi's like, Luke, no, put it away. Use the Force. That moment happened to me because at my natural, I was like, oh no, the mech's here. Attack with everything you have. And they started to move forward, and I would have died. But then a voice in my head said, Jeff, not now. Don't do it now. And then I pulled back, and I was like, okay, voice, what is that? So I pulled back. My natural's getting destroyed. I'm dying, but his bases are not mining. And then I made like 2 more immortals, a couple more warpins, and the voice goes, Jeff, go now. Now is the time. And then I clamped down on him, and I won. And that's why you saw that reaction from me, the double fist pump when he, like, GG'd. Because I was like, because it all caught me off guard, and this voice told me to do the right thing. I was like, oh, shit, Terran attack. And it's like, yeah, wait.
I like how Obi-Wan got, like, consistently more dopey as the story went on. From, like, the wise old man to, like, the, you know, the hunchback.
Yeah.
Then suddenly giving you.
Then I won a few more rounds, which was nice. I got to 2-0 Druby. This MLG was pretty classic. If I would have beat Kawhi and if Noni would have won his round, I actually would have faced Noni, which is really funny because we did that in the first MLG I ever played 3 years ago. But I was happy to beat Druby because he's kind of a traditional opponent for me at MLG. And then I got smashed by Kawhi because Kawhi is playing really good training on the Korea server. I was just really sad that he got cheesed out by Bubbles like the next round because I actually teased him about that because later he's like, if you've ever met Kawhi, he doesn't have an emotion in him. He was just like, I lost to Bubbles. And I was like, how many all-ins? And he just kind of looked at me and goes, take a fucking guess. And I was like, oh, damn it, boy.
It's a pretty good impression.
Yeah.
So before we talk about, like, kind of the top four, two kind of notable things that I think were talk of the town, one of them being Bubbles. And, you know, there's definitely, like, some, like, I mean, people were, like, really, really going crazy about it after Coach Park got can rushed. I guess I want to hear your thoughts because, like, you know, on stage I was like, honestly, you know, play to win, man. I think that's what he was doing.
Oh, absolutely. You know? You can't fault Bubbles at all. Like, he did a cannon rush game one on Akalon Waste that seems kind of weird, but it's really good if you don't see it. Like, that cannon behind the pylon, you have to know that it's coming, basically, because you don't typically scout out that far. Like, usually you build your base closer to the Nexus with Photon Overcharge, which is exactly what Coach Park did. So I don't fault Bubbles at all. And then game two, Coach Park tried a really shitty cheese, and Bubbles smote it.
Right.
I think the cool story, like, Bubbles shouldn't get any crap at all. It's kind of sad that he does. That's what happens, like we expected these days.
Sure.
The kind of cool story for me is that Coach Park put his balls on the table and was like, "Let's do this." Because yeah, he's a Masters Korean player, but he's a player 15th. He's a family man, a coach, and everything else first. And for him to go into an open bracket and compete, I think it's pretty cool. It was good exposure. It was fun to see the audience rally back and get excited about him, too. You know, shout out to Reddit, shout out to Team Liquid, and shout out to Anaheim.
Does Bubbles always play like this?
Yes.
I remember one time I played against him. This was way back on Metalopolis on the ladder, on the NA ladder. And he was playing Terran. We were spawning close spawn. I took an expo. I saw him building his...
Oh, you fucked up then, is what you meant.
I saw him taking his command center in base. He was Terran.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay... I remember I killed, like, a bunch of Marines. I was like, okay, I think I can just go kill him now. So I, like, pulled 75% of all my SUVs, had, like, 10 Hellions, like, lots of bio.
And you met him in the middle of the map with the exact same composition.
No, when I reach his natural, it's a fucking planetary fortress. Like, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, he knows, like, you, man.
Bring all my SUVs and then finding a planetary fortress? No, I don't think so. Even though he has, like, two Marines behind it, I can't do shit and, like, end up losing the game against Bubbles Terran.
He actually plays all three races really well, though, by the way, so don't feel too bad about that. He is a Protoss main, but since Wings of Liberty, he's played all three races pretty damn well.
So then there's another story about a guy named Wiedemans. You guys know who Wiedemans is?
Yeah.
You've seen his stream
name
before?
I don't know.
Met him at the event. He's a moderator for my channel.
Yep. Yeah, he's. I think he's actually watching right now. So, Wiedemann's, like, he streams. You can find him streaming pretty regularly. He cannon rushes. I've seen him. He's facepalming right now. But I've seen him. I've actually seen him hit into GM with cannons. But he's playing his games, and he forgets the one building he needs the most, a forge.
Yep. I thought that was particularly funny. I actually gave him shit about it. I was talking to him because everyone heard about it, obviously, the next day. And I asked him, I'm like, you know, how do you cannon rush like every game and forget the only building you have to build to do a cannon rush? And he's like, man, I don't know. But a fun side story on that is, I guess, for people that don't know, it's Wiedemans and it's a guy named Gauzy from Iceland who are like the cannon rushers. That's what they do. And I would say Gauzy is like... His version of Jesus, basically. Like, this is the original cannon rusher. And the reason I say that is because when Wiedemans had this big epic fail, I guess Gauzy actually tweeted at Wiedemans and jokingly told him the build order for a cannon rush. He's like, it goes pylon, then forge. But to Wiedemans' credit, by the way, as embarrassing as that was, he took it in stride and was really cool about it. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, you got to get experience somehow. You can sit at home and you can talk about doing, or you can actually go out and do it. Next time, if you're playing against Wiedemans, I guarantee you he won't forget his forge. So just
right
there, you go. Let's talk about Polt, a Terran winning MLG. Which
for
is...
once I was like, oh, okay, there's like one Terran in the top eight. Okay, cool. There's gonna be like a PvZ finals. Like, yes, I hope David Kim is watching. I don't think Terran is underpowered at all. Like, you know that feeling when you hope that your race is going to lose because people have been whining so much about Terran, so you'll be like...
No, I don't know that feeling.
Well, I know what you're talking about, Marcus. Don't worry.
Yeah, like, people are like, oh, Taran's OP. But then, like, there's a couple of tournaments in a row where, like, Taran doesn't do well. So I was hoping this would be, like, the third one in a row. Like, oh, okay, there's only Polk left in the top eight. I don't really know if that's accurate, but, like, there wasn't that many Tarans in there.
Based off of the results, Thorzane, you know, you see Hyun and Polk up there. No doubt there'll be another Protoss buff coming. No doubt.
Yeah, so I was like, cool. I hope, well, like, I don't hope he loses, but I don't think he'll win the tournament. Like, I hope he plays, like, I didn't expect him to win, and then when I got home, I, like, pulled one.
Thorzane,
like,
I said
I'm kind of happy for him, but then, like, I was also a bit like, oh, fuck, Taran won, shit.
I said a joke, there was a GSL where it was MVP and three Protoss in the final four. And after that finals, I tweeted, one Taran and three Protoss enter a bar, and only the fucking Taran leaves. So that's what happens, man.
That's what happens. So, the top four, as it breaks down, ended up being Polt, Hyun, Hero, and Naniwa. Naniwa breaking through there with a pretty good performance, despite the fact that his day two is a bit shitty. What do you guys think about Polt's win? I think the Triple Crown story is actually really awesome. He does enter a really elite list that only consists of MVP, MMA, and life.
Triple Crown?
Yeah, the Triple Crown.
One big major tournament win in all three
regions. And MVP's actually done it twice. So he's had two Triple Crowns.
No big deal.
What did Polt win in Europe?
Polt won an Asus ROG.
Okay.
And he won a GSL, and now he's won an MLG.
Yeah, just all MLG, but I think Asus ROG is like on the edge of being like a really, really, it's like kind of medium, but still kind of big.
Oh,
I don't
know. Oh man, Judge Thorzane's going in there. He's getting ready to strip the title, man.
And about innovation. No, just kidding.
What'd you guys think of the finals?
I thought Hyun was going to win, man.
I did too.
Yeah, Hyun's been unstoppable recently, and Polt.
Never heard that.
Well, maybe he's destined to get second now, or he's gotten second in like the last like four tournaments or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, right? He matches it up best of five. I mean, that last game. What would have happened if the Hellions and the Reapers hadn't broken through? You know.
That's exactly what happened to me versus Polt on Neo Planet S. He did that exact same build, and I was like,
"That shit."
I didn't really understand it because I don't know if you watched it, Marcus.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think we're at. You didn't build any spine crawlers.
Yeah,
what did happen? I didn't watch that game.
So
he
opens Reaper into reactor on the barracks, swap with the factory, and then just Hellions. And once you like, I think the key to it is keeping the Reapers alive, and then. Yeah. And then,
how
like,
many Hellions?
So
like
no third
or six.
But the thing that makes it weird is he doesn't get a third CC ever, and he just gets a starport and makes meta back, which means that if he does zero damage, he's really, really behind. But every single time he's done it, he's been able to kill like 20 plus drones.
Which
so
he builds like the normal Reaper into Hellion, and then
but no third
he builds
CC
a starport.
Yeah.
And he like elevators up your main or something?
He just runs in.
He just goes in.
What's the medevac for?
I don't know.
I think it's like follow up. I don't think Polt ever had to because every single time he got in, I don't think you or Hyun ever built a spine. Hyun had a bigger wall than you had, Suppy.
Yeah, I should have made
it. Still got
you went speed, no speed.
But also Hyun
Hyun
I think really fucked up when he sent all four queens to his third.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big problem, but also one thing that really screwed him over was there was a creep tumor blocking him from building a backup Evo chamber.
Yeah.
So he built one Evo chamber, but it died, and he couldn't build one behind it because there's a creep tumor there.
So he basically lost to a Hellion run-by.
Pretty much.
But there's
it's a really weird build order because without a third CC, I feel like if you don't do critical damage, it's like kind of all-in-y.
Oh, yeah, he was building the Viking, too.
Yeah.
Before medevac, even.
I think. Oh, what map are you talking about?
This is Neo Planet.
He did it to me on Neo Planet. He did it to Hyun on Core Hall.
Didn't he do it on Aculon as well? against Jan.
I didn't
watch remember a really early Viking. A really early Viking, I think. He might have done it, but never went for the actual run by.
Mm-hmm. Either way, it's nasty. And Hyun didn't have creep, so his four queens took forever to get back, and even when they did, after they cleaned it up, damage was done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then, like, in that process, like, all those overlords are dying to the Viking. And then your queens are dead. And then you GG, and Polt gets a triple crown.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just happy for Polt. Polt's he's been really good for a long time, but he's also been one of those guys that's kind of come close. And it's nice. It's nice that it's a nice win for the USA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, also that, like, the thing that he's actually not living in Korea, as he said, the quote, like, he's been living for, like, at least a couple of months now.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how long, but, like, he hasn't started his skill hasn't started deteriorating, which is, like, positive.
And
for
he's playing
all of us
on the NA ladder.
Yeah, and a European. I don't think he plays in a Korean, does he?
I mean, do you know how great it's going to be to actually stream lately? Because all those dickheads that come into chat and are like, oh, God, NA is the worst. I'd be like, MLG Spring Champion plays on NA all the time.
Old news, Wheat. Violet came over to the same Texas group of people. Maybe it's not NA as much as whatever it is they do in that Texas CSN area.
That
they
Andrew
fucking turn people into champions. Like,
Andrew.
Violet was kind of a cheesy all-inish Zerg in GSL. Goes to Texas, comes out the Violet that is, like, nerd-stomping ladies in Sweden and America right and left, shutting down floozies on Twitter, and then he's winning tournaments. Like, that is something to be said.
Yep.
What are they doing in Texas? Is it the barbecue? Korean barbecue and Texas barbecue. That is what makes players so good. It's not the kimchi wheat like we thought.
And Andrew.
It's barbecue. And Andrew.
And Andrew, man.
Oh, my God.
Andrew takes care of those dudes, so.
We figured it out.
It is. And the barbecue, for sure.
It's definitely, that's the link, Wheat, because you've got Korean barbecue and Texas barbecue.
Exactly, exactly. But you have to drink, like, a whole bottle of barbecue sauce every day.
I believe it.
It's kind of nasty.
I believe it. Take baths and kimchi.
You know, the other story, I mean, you guys, like, I watched Naniwa go full tilt on day two. And then completely kind of turn it on as a different player on day three.
And then turn it completely off again.
Well, yeah.
Against Polt.
Yeah. I you know, like, Naniwa is a player that if I feel like if he could just get everything sorted out with his sort of getting upset at things and or hardware and or whatever to let it affect the game, like, when he is playing just with no distraction, he's obviously playing really well. I mean, to hit the STC and then Jadong and then Deer and not drop a map, that's pretty freaking fantastic. I mean, yep. You know, we talk about consistency a lot when it comes to, you know, during casting and whatnot. But, I mean, it's just weird when you can see a player and know they are not going to win just because of the mindset that they're in. It's so rare that you can actually, you know, see that in full, you know, right in front of your face.
We lived with it for a long time, so I guess it's not quite as weird to us, but...
Well...
I don't really get it, though. Like, you said he has a bad mindset, but he still managed to win all those games.
No. I'm talking about it because in day two, Thorzane, when he dropped down to the winner or to the loser's bracket, who did he play? Let me find out.
He lost to Polt.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, right. So he went... that's right. That was the last game he played. He was on full tilt. This was the night before day three. Full tilt. I'm pretty sure at one point he probably didn't even want to play game two. Having issues. You know, I thought he was going to come in to day three and be in the same, you know, same sort of mindset. And he wasn't. He was just like, just sit down. I'm going to play my games and go. I mean, I don't know. Then it got turned off again when he hit Polt. But he was a totally different guy, a totally different player. I even interviewed him, Thorzane, on what was that, Sunday morning? and he felt like he had a totally different, like, air about him. It was so, dare I say it, and no disrespect to Manny Wall, but it was as close to Jekyll and Hyde as I can even imagine in esports.
Well, that is him in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
What is Jekyll and Hyde?
Oh, my Christ.
Wait, are you freaking serious, Suppy?
Suppy.
I just Googled it. Jekyll and Hyde?
The hell?
Oh, my God.
Jekyll. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
What year were you born in?
93.
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
Suppy.
What, am I supposed to know?
I would like to apologize on behalf of the United States of America's educational system. How...
A fictional character in the game show, Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego?
What?
No, wait. He doesn't know what Carmen Sandiego is.
Do you know what Carmen Sandiego is?
No, I've heard of it.
Oh, my God!
Wait, if you
she has the hat.
If you can sing the Carmen Sandiego theme song, then you have redeemed yourself for eternity. God damn it, did I say In Control? I said Suppy.
He doesn't know the show.
How do you know that?
He said he wasn't going to pull.
She has a hat.
Do you hear him right now?
Yeah.
Do you hear his wounded cries from the youth of America? He didn't know what Carmen Sandiego is. Doesn't know who Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde is.
Dr. Hyde.
Well, it's Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. So
I'm
so confused.
Jekyll and Hyde. Just look it up.
Do you know who Jack the Ripper is?
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the murderer guy. Serial killer?
Why do you know that? Is it because of...
I watch
Johnny Depp
Orbit YouTube videos. Of course, I know.
How would you not know, Dr. Jack? I feel like it's just like installed in everyone's operating system when they're born in their brain. It's just like
this happens, Steffi. I bet we could pull Mini Wheat into this room, and he would know.
He might. He might. Should we try it? No, I'm just kidding.
If he wanders in, ask him. That'd be good trivia. That'd be good.
He's not here.
Suppy, this summer
in the corner of my cat actually might know if you want me to.
This summer, Suppy, your homework is to unhurt the wounds that you've suffered to your education and to your development.
I mean, it kind of blows my mind. Like now, I don't know if I can even continue with the show because I'm thinking about all the other things that Suppy doesn't know about.
I know it's scary what's possible now. Yeah. You're named Conan. Do you know Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah, hell yeah. I watched the movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You have to.
All right.
Yeah, the name like yours, you have to.
Right.
Everybody, okay, that's what everybody calls me as soon as they meet me. They're like, Conan, oh, like the Barbarian. And I'm like,
well, name the other famous Conan.
Conan the Brian.
Sure. Conan the Oprah.
We'll accept that.
Just kidding.
I just want one more probing question here, Subby. Like, what kind of cartoons when you were very young did you like grow up with? Did you like watch?
Dexter. Dexter's Lab.
Lab? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So 90s
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
90s Nick. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Man, there's so much.
Ed and Eddie. That was one of my favorites.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Ren and Stimpy, Rugrats, Beast Wars.
I know Rugrats.
G.I. Joe, Batman, X-Men. Street Sharks,
Thundercats,
Dragon Ball Z,
Thundercards, He-Man, Pokemon,
Thundercats, Mask,
Kill Tomatoes,
TMNT,
The Mask, Freakazoid,
I don't know. Hey Arnold,
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Pee-wee's
I didn't
Playhouse.
Know 2 years could be such a huge difference.
Gargoyles, that was a good one too.
I liked George the Curious Monkey.
You just stop. You.
What the hell?
Okay, I. Rugrats, okay, I didn't know most of those shows, but, like, Rugrats and Batman I've heard of.
I like how we're, like, for 10 minutes now, like, talking about TV shows from back in the days.
I mean, Suppy did kind of take us down this path without...
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Really?
Yes.
I don't know. That was weird.
It's probably before I was born.
Yeah, it was, like, back in the 19th century.
19th century?
It's a book.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
And of course,
how do you guys all know it then? Are you guys secretly alien time travelers who have lived over 1,000 years?
Oh, you must not have gotten the memo to get into the cool kids club. You gotta know about Jekyll and Hyde.
Biker.
I know Jack the Ripper.
That's all. I mean, everyone does. Yeah.
Well, everyone knows Jekyll Hyde.
Except for you.
Do you know who Richard Nixon is?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Richard Nixon is.
I've got to be honest, since last week, I know the other thing we're going to chat about was WCS, and yeah. I have not seen a whole – where the hell did my
– I watched it this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about AM because, right, sure. NASL is taking it over. They're doing it out of
Irvine,
right, at the Blizzard offices.
The standing offices of Blizzard, yes.
Were there, yeah. So, how was it? I only watched like a few minutes of it.
What's going on right now? Nice overlay, nice graphics. It's just the open bracket, so they're just kind of doing the general, you know, follow it along. So I think it's the same kind of thing as last season, where I'll reserve critical judgment until we see what they look like offline, which is supposedly going to be handed back over to NASL. But this looks really nice. They've got Froden and Greetorp visiting and commentating, and that's cool. They're great. It's nice that they handed over NASL, and even though Blizzard's handling the like in between, it still has that NASL flavor with these two guys commentating it. I love Kevin Naki, but I was a little bit worried we were going to get a bunch of guys that are probably preoccupied with other things other than just being full-time commentators slash players, and then they would be like really basic commentary. Which wouldn't end the world, because like I said, Kevin Naki is one of those guys that like has the voice of an angel, so it still would be a really nice commentary, but not on the level of Froden Greetorp, in my opinion.
I'm the same way. I only saw like 5 minutes of it, so I cannot really, I cannot really comment on it. But I look forward to, you know, to having it, because now we're in like full swing and we're going to have all of them in full rotation. Any you guys, Suppy or Thorzane, watch AM?
So, I mean, me, like I said at the start of the show, me, Scarlet, Major,
Ghost User.
Yeah, we were casting some of the early parts of it, but we had to shut the stream down once the official stream started. And yeah, pretty good matches going on, but one thing you'll notice is there's a lot more Koreans. There's a lot more Kespa Koreans, to be precise. And according to Major, the Kespa Koreans you see...
Is this Challenger, by the way?
This is the qualify for Challenger, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from Challenger, you go to Premier.
Yeah, and so...
Oh.
Yeah. According to Major, this is not like... The Kespa Koreans you see in the qualifier today is not all you're going to see. Like, apparently some of them can play on any given day. So tomorrow we're going to see an entire new set of Kespa players playing. So it's going to be a lot of...
Where are these results on Liquipedia as well?
I will link you to the bracket.
Can you link me on my other Skype?
Conan, why can't more of them play at the same time?
It's probably some rule that Kespa made.
Dude.
This is just what I heard on. This is what I heard from Major.
Okay, so here's the brackets for the day.
Oh wow, no Americans left.
Well, that storyline's gonna get less intriguing as.
Okay, let me kill a few of these.
More Koreans enter.
Let's look at the round of 32. Oh my. Fog. Select made it on.
Well, Select beat Tassadar.
No, he beat Dragon. He's going to play Tassadar.
No, he 2-1 Tassadar in the Wikipedia.
So this isn't what? This isn't fully filled out then, or is it?
I mean, Tassadar. He used to be quite good. Dropped off the scene a bit. I'd still assume that he's pretty damn good. So I'm happy for Select just coming back to the scene, beating him.
Just coming back 2 months ago.
So who won the qualifier today?
Not up
it's
yet.
Still going on.
Still going on.
Oh, it is still.
Watching it as we speak.
Oh, gotcha.
Pig is in the middle of a battle with some name I can't read.
Okay. Shigua. Hey, Shigua.
Isn't Masan still in the tournament?
Yeah, Masan is... I mean, that's what Liquipedia says. Maybe it's not updated. Maybe he is still in it.
He's
Canadian.
He beat Hitman. Oh, Mr. Bitter's not happy about that.
Wait, is Masan Canadian? Liquipedia lists
him. No, he's
American.
He's American.
Yeah. Is he American? I think he's got a Canadian flag on the draw.
He's Korean American.
Okay. All right. I've joined the fun as well. While we talk about this, some surprising, it's still going on right now. So, you know, once Inside the Game is over here, you could go on and watch that as well.
Go on.
No, the European qualifier today saw, I think, what people would call the people's upset with TLO not advancing and Mana, who, you know, I think finally got some really good games in. Advanced along with what, MMA?
Sure. Yep. Mm. MMA dominated, played really, really well. Watched all his games. It's nice to see him back in form. He's been in form, I would say, for a month or so now. But still, the MMA of old is like the tournament winner MMA, one of the best Terrans on the planet. So it's a little bit weird watching him through the filter of like, oh, good for you, MMA. You made it out of your group. Whereas in the past, it was like, MMA. But it's good to see him return to form. And then the other guys were DuckDuck, Mana, and TLO. And I think it's interesting because everyone was expecting TLO to advance, which I think is actually a cool commentary on how consistent and strong TLO has been lately. Because I think if we rewind a month or two, like, which is not a long period of time, we look at that group and we say TLO is not a favorite to advance. But in recent history, he's been impressing that on that level. Because Mana is like the second highest Protoss foreigner earner. Just now getting past it by Naniwa, but he used to be just behind Stefano as the second highest foreigner earner. So he was like, by a lot of metrics, the second best foreigner in StarCraft II history, which is kind of an amazing accomplishment. But yet TLO makes him look like a nub in the first series, and then Mana comes back and gets revenge. But really fun group, great casting by Apollo and Kalaris, and I think the ESL guys are doing a fantastic broadcast. Like, it's still not the offline portion yet, but it's a really nice production show, and I feel like this is what WCS should look like, what they're doing right now.
Tomorrow we have Damaga, Deshi, Haswabs, and DuckDuck, and then the Korean group stage.
I thought DuckDuck was today.
No, that was Tails.
Yes, who went out?
Tails is DuckDuck, I thought, right?
No, Duck is finale.
Oh,
finale. Snap, son, you're right.
Why did all of them have to change names so hard
at the exact same time too?
Or yeah,
they're Goombas.
I don't know what to tell you guys about that. Sue, Parting, Flash, Innovation, Rain, Hava, Maru, Trap for the group stage two. Sick day tomorrow. That's actually tonight. No, yeah, that's tomorrow. That's in one day. So basically, celebrate. Americas will sell. Celebrate the 4th of July with some fucking sick, sick matches for sure.
Yeah.
Flash vs. Innovation. Forward to that one.
Wow. Four Terran.
Yeah. Exciting. What do you want to do now? Should we open the phones?
Take calls.
Yeah.
Couple calls.
Where's Goatlust? You better be here.
Not straight to Goatlust.
He's always around. He's always.
By the way, why is he called MLG Summer Spring Championships in the like end of June, almost July?
I think they're always like they're just off always.
Like, why?
Incoming Thorzane blog.
Yeah, the thoughts of Thorzane.
All right, let me open it.
I gotta be honest with you. I think nobody gives a shit, Thorzane.
I mean, I don't. It doesn't really matter.
I don't have an answer.
Why?
I guess I don't.
Like, why don't they just call it Winter Championship?
Maybe it's because they find the champion of whoever was doing well, like right in the time period before that. So that was spring. They were doing well in spring, and then that culminated in their victory in the summer.
Stop. All right, let me turn the phone stuffs on and should be good to go. Okay. You can call us at the number listed or you can Skype me. And it opened up. We got a little delay on the stream, so it might take a moment for that to actually get up there. But, yeah, so is the summer championship in November now or is it the winter championship?
That's got to be the fall championship.
Winter championship.
Winter?
Whatever, fall, winter.
I'd be like, this MLG Summer Championship in Ohio. All right, it's winter. It already got done. Okay, let's take a call. Let's take a call. We got area code 443 on the line. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, hey, I'm here. Sorry, this is the way I have the stream going. I had a question for Thorzane. I'm a huge fan.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, way back, I think it was like 2011, 2012, I really enjoyed watching how Thorzane like changed the game with his mech play. And I was wondering, Thorzane, I mean, are you working on any new strategies or you know, anything else? I've been enjoying your game, so I watched you during MLG, and just wanted to give a shout out.
It was really, really hard to hear anything of what he said.
Well, did you actually have a question in there, or you just want to, like...
Yes. He was asking if Thorzane's going to, like, has any mech play that he wants to display, because he was a big fan of your mech play back in, like, the TSL days and stuff.
Oh, well, I've actually... Like, since I got back from MLG, I've been experimenting more with the mech style plays. Just because it's, I think mech is like so much fun when you've been playing bio for like months and months straight. Like playing mech every once in a while is fun, and then when you do that, you'll be like, oh, this build actually is good. It's not just like fun. It actually works as well. So yeah, I think I might have some new mech builds. Maybe. I can't say anything. It's too early. Working on it.
Okay, well, that's all I had. I actually didn't think you guys would actually pick up for me. But thanks. Thanks. Nope. Nice job at MLG Community Control, and fuck you.
Thanks, man. Take
nice
care.
Nice casting. See you.
Bye-bye. Awesome.
Did he call you Scoots?
I don't know. He could have very well called me Scoots. I mean, you know, like, between... Scoots and guys call me Slasher, and the guys, you know, called me JP, and people come up and be like, I really love that that show you do, like Kings of Game, or they'll say State of the Game. You know, it's I've heard it all, Jeff. I mean, do you nice. I expect nothing. Area code 619. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I don't know how. I want you guys to educate me. I had a question about WCS North America.
Okay.
It's supposed to be North America. I understand that. I get it that a lot of the pro players like that Koreans are playing, but it just seems to me that if it's WCS North America, why aren't there more North Americans being? I don't know. Would you allow them to?
It's almost like they just need to rename it to, like, the North American Portal, WCS Portal. They use that portal as a way because, at this point, it's just, it really is what Cloaken said. It's like three ways for people, regardless of what their nationality or their status is, to get into WCS. We wanted North America to be that. We've talked about it on the show a million times. What we have are three portals. A really, really, really fucking hard portal that has like a crazy amount of bosses at the end that resides
realms.
In Korea.
We call them realms.
Yes, we can. Realms? Yes. Instead of portals?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Realms. The this realm, the realm. Korean realm. The Europe realm, which has amazing coverage and occasionally a local resident will rise up and do very, very well. And, you know, Koreans and other SEA players are not as eager to go on that. And then the realm of North America, where...
Only one champion can be crowned to fight in the tournament to determine the fate of all of mankind.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, the problem is that as many times as we voiced our opinion here on the show, guys, about this, that's just kind of how it is and how I feel like it's going to go forward. I mean, even Suppy said, look at the amount of Kespa players that are choosing to play in the North American realm.
Yeah.
Do you guys see that? I mean, WCS has made changes with, from MLG to NASL. Do you see them possibly making changes to allow the European region to have more Europeans representing North America, having more North Americans representing,
nope.
And then just keep, no.
No, unless they go offline, which is what they've talked about. The reason there's any confusion at all is because the WCS system from last year was nationalistic and based on where you're from. So there was an American representative and there was a North American representative, so on and so forth. But this WCS system keeps the same name but is a different tournament. They're not interested in regional championships. They're not interested necessarily in an American coming out. Like, it's really cool, and they do, just because foreigners make for a better storyline in bigger tournaments, mixed with Koreans, of course. But they're not, like, trying to determine the best American. That's not what this tournament's about. It's just being held in America.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it. All right, take care.
Yeah.
I always feel bad because that question, like, he asked a legitimate question that a lot of people wonder, but I can't help it. But every time someone asks it, all I hear is, like, a super stereotypical Southern guy being like, yeah, DJ, I got a question. How come we don't speak American in our WO systems? You know what I'm saying? Like, how come we allow the people to come in and steal our money and take our jabs? And then I just...
He took our jabs!
That's not what he's asking. Like, he's asking a legit question, but that's all I can hear. Like, ah! And it's because of the confusion of WCS.
And, you know, we have obviously talked about it a million times, but I'll tell you what, people keep asking the question. There's obviously, a group of individuals who are so concerned about this. Like, I expect picketing and, you know, protests to begin any time now at, you know, in front of the Irvine offices. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Right? I don't know. Let's try to find another guy. Let's take this call. Let's take area code 612. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Hello. Turn off your stream.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Okay, we had a great MLG this weekend in Protoss looking at the Warp Prism. What is your guys' opinion on the Warp Prism buff? Because, I mean, it made every game that had the Warp Prism so much more exciting, in my opinion. And one thought I thought about when looking at Protoss and what kind of buff it needed was late game Protoss, because I play Protoss also, is it feels like I don't have a mineral sink. I'm always relying on gas and whatever, but I don't have anything to do with minerals. Oh, I could put gazillion of cannons up.
What the fuck, man? You got zealots? Like, what? Don't you just...
Your best mineral sink is use that new warp prism you're talking about. Fly into their base, make sure you have 15 gates, and just warp 15 zealots.
Yeah.
1,500 zealots, yeah. Dominic.
Yeah, but I mean, you can only go so far. I mean, you look at Terran right now, your best mineral sink is your Hellbat. If you look at Zerg right now,
which
you
costs
can
as much
put
as a
more
zealot.
Hatcheries and stuff like that.
You know.
Yeah, but they're different races. That you can't really go through the races and compare them that way. Like,
advice. How about I compare it that your fucking 15 zealots warp in before your 15 Hellbats get made? Like, all I'm saying is that zealots fuck me up late game all the time. So I'm just wondering, like, why you wouldn't want to go with the one thing that's always like, no, not 15 zealots at my fort that I can't defend right now.
Weeds.
Fair enough.
They're right.
But no, going back to the original question. What did you guys think? Do you think the war person harass will actually bring Pro Tier into Protoss, into that edge that they needed, or was it enough?
I think war person. You go ahead.
No, I think he's saying that you could go ahead.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, I'll have him answer the question. Thanks for your call, dude. Listen to it on the stream.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You have a wonderful day.
You too.
I think this weekend showed that the Warp Prism is certainly a baby step in the right direction. I think it's still not being used nearly as much as I thought it would, and I think it should still be used more. I feel like that's definitely the potential, but I think the Warp Prism is a really powerful tool that the Protoss were underutilizing, and I think this minor speed buff, like I said, you're seeing a little bit more of it, but not so much so. It's not like entire strategies are being redesigned around the Warp Prism, but the little bit more that we are seeing it in all three matchups is really refreshing and nice. And I think that that's something that we've said from the very beginning. The thing that I think we said from the very beginning that I'm surprised about is that I thought we would see a Warp Prism like in every single game. I thought every game would be like Robo, boom, Warp Prism, because they don't even take a long time to build. It's 200 minerals. It's not an expensive unit either, but we're not seeing them that much. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure why that is. I feel like you should see them more.
Let's take another call. Oops. We'll take this one right here. Area code 832. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What is up?
Oh, is it a pre-screen or something?
No, actually, we're live. We're live. I'm sorry. We're live. Welcome to Inside the Game. There's no pre-screen.
Oh, wow.
You're on the air. We're talking. Answer. What is up?
All right. So I got a hypothetical question. This had to happen today in a North American stream, in a North American MLG, but if an American won MLG.
If American won MLG.
Would you keep calling him a foreigner, or do we call him an American?
If American won MLG, would you call him a foreigner, or would you call him an American?
That's your question?
I would call him an American. I guess.
In the broad scope of things,
I think
he's
still a foreigner. I understand what he's asking, right? Because we say foreigners, right? And then occasionally we're like, he's Swedish.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I'm saying? So,
that wasn't even on my scope. I didn't realize we were talking about something so incredibly nitpicky.
Well, you know, the caller asked.
Foreigners are white, non-Koreans or non-whites, excuse me. They're just non-Koreans. The foreigner term comes from Brood War, where every pro gamer you really talked about was a Korean. And anyone that competed anywhere near their level was a foreigner that was non-Korean.
Yeah. So he'd still be an American, but he'd also be a foreigner at the same time.
Yes, he would continue to have his residency, but he would in terminology be referred to as both a foreigner and an American, not only because he is an American, but because he is not Korean.
You know, I'm sorry for asking.
No, it's okay. Don't be sorry. It just gives me a chance to be snarky.
Your response is hilarious. I love the show, and I'm not racist.
We didn't think that. We didn't think that. You do have a bad connection, though.
I'm racist.
You do have a
bad against connection. Tacos. Nope.
Crickets.
Supposed to be
thanks,
food,
caller. Appreciate
but it's too
your
close
call.
To what you would actually call,
your
call a Hispanic person. I'm not racist like that, I swear. I made a bad joke. God damn
Dude,
it.
That was some epic crickets right there.
I know. It deserved it, too.
All right. This
look,
guy's,
I tell
this
people
guy's
I bat like 750.
Is a
like
crying
one out of
baby.
Four is terrible.
This guy's picture on Skype is a crying baby. Like, it seems fantastic. I'm going to take his call. All right. He's just
should.
Keep in mind. All right. Sure. What's up? We got Steve online. Oh. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Steve? Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Not much. I was just wondering if you guys saw, and if you have anything to say on the performance of Startail Sound, just on the weekend, because, like, I've been a fan of him for a lot. Since that Home Story Cup where he got to the final and got trashed by MC, he's been the one that whenever he comes up, I've backed him, but then he's always lost. But recently, since his all-kill in GSTL, he's been doing really well. I mean, it was fifth place at this tournament. I know he's incredibly... I think he's schooling in Korea at the moment, but it's more his play is really impressive. He's really impressed me with particularly his multitasking. And I don't know if any of you saw much of his games. I just wanted to
see...
Yeah,
I saw a few games, and caller, what you're talking about specifically, I think there were, you know, I think there were a couple games where there was actually some really great games that he played where he demonstrated exactly kind of what you're talking about. You know, overall, I'm trying to bring up the brackets here because I don't even remember who he. He lost to Hyun, but wasn't he eliminated by
Hero?
Oh, okay,
Hero, yeah.
Yeah.
As a fan of Sound, you are. This must have been a great 2 weeks because I think between Red Bull and MLG.
Right.
we're seeing like a completely different sound. Like actually prior to Red Bull, I forgot he existed. Yeah, he had that great run at Homestory Cup, but then his finals against MC was very lackluster because MC just dominated him. But then he reemerges here, fantastic multitasking, very fast. I think it's unfortunate that he lost to Golden because I feel like the result steals away the level of performance he showed. Like, Golden's a very good player, deserved the win, but Sound, in my opinion, was the most improved guy in that tournament, so it was pretty cool to see.
Well, he actually 2-0'd Golden this tournament, didn't he, I think, in the early rounds, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Thorzay and Ezeteran, you know, and I know you like to compare, you know, I know you like to, like, rank the Terrans and stuff.
I was rooting against him the whole time.
any Sound thoughts?
Yeah, actually, Sound, when he played at Homestead Cup, I remember I was sitting next to him, and when he was playing, like, both ladder and in the tournaments, he was just cheesing or playing, like, he was 50% was one base, 50% was two base. And the games I've seen of him, like, these recent two tournaments, he's actually been playing, like, he's taking a third at least a couple of times.
And then cheesing from there. But, yeah, so really good.
Yeah, but, like, he's still, like, I'm just happy he's not the same cheesy player, because when I watched him play, he was still, like, freaking fast, like, really good mechanics, but he would always cheese. And now, I guess, he didn't, and that took him even further. And he remembered me from Homestar Cup, so I was really happy about that.
So there you go. Sound has always been solid, and I think consistent performances like this. You know, I know that he was also out here because of the Red Bull event. I think, like, the fact that those two events piggybacked meant that we got to see him at MLG. So I'd be curious to see if we see him at other international events just based off the results we saw here. But, caller, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's take one more, and then hopefully we'll have a goat lust.
Nice.
All right. We're going to take this one. Area code 580. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What is up?
Hello, DJ Wheat. I was actually wanting to ask you a question directly. I wanted to know how you got started in esports broadcasting and just how your career developed from there, because a lot of my friends have a different opinion of you. Like, they don't even have your name remembered, but personally, you have my deepest respects as a caster.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. You know, I guess the short version is that when I had to stop playing, I started casting. And before that, I kind of started coaching, and I sort of got into casting from coaching. But, you know, really when it came down to is that I only casted Quake 3 for like a year. And then I realized that if I actually wanted to have a career in casting, that I had to be able to be flexible and have the capabilities to, you know, cast other games. And so, like, I spent, 6-7 years, like, casting probably 5 or 6 major esports titles. And you know, that's just sort of how I established myself as a broadcaster. You know, I mean, that's literally the quick and dirty. You can probably find, like, 1,000 interviews that actually have, like, a really drawn-out story, but I don't know if you have anything specific about that, but that's kind of how it happened. I mean, honestly, it was almost an accident.
I see. Okay, it makes sense. So you weren't actually looking to get involved in that.
Wait, what?
No. You said it happened kind of like on accident, and this makes me think, too, the way Artosis became a caster. Like, he just became a pro gamer, and then they started hiring him on as a caster, right?
I meant an accident more in the sense of when I was coaching, I would actually record myself talking to my team, and one of my players said, hey, that's actually cool. Why don't you broadcast it like it's a game? And so I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that, and that's how I got it. So it was sort of by accident that way.
All right. Any advice you have to anyone who actually wants to be the established caster for something?
Yeah. Actually, I've got some advice because a lot of people ask this. Nathanius, you know who he is?
Yeah, I know who he is. I work with him sometimes.
Great. So Nathanius has been busting his fucking ass for the last 3 months, dude. I woke up every morning for like 2 months, and I would watch him at like 8 in the morning until noon, you know, obviously like on and off while I was doing work and stuff. And, you know, just, like, I noticed how much he was casting, how much he was covering, how much he would improve over time, how much he didn't give a fuck if he was the only guy casting or casting with another guy. Nathanius made that for like he cut down the weeds and created a pathway for himself. Like I always talk about, sometimes you just got to do it. And Nathanius is another great example and the most recent of someone who is like, you know what, I'll just fucking do it. And you ask him, I guarantee you, he'd be like, it sucked. It was probably hard. There were probably days where he didn't want to cast, but he just like, you know, sacked up and did it. It's really one of the best ways that you can do it. And honestly, if you're buddies with Nathanius, get some casting time with him, dude. Like, I'm sure, you know?
I just kind of have him on Skype. We're just, like, kind of contact. Like,
I see.
If we work together on something, I'll contact him.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, dude, that's, like, one of the biggest ways is to just kind of get out there and get her done.
All right.
Get her done.
Sounds good to me.
Get her done.
Yeah.
Word.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Real quick before we do.
I haven't seen Goat Lust yet, man.
Well, then he better call in now.
I don't know where he is.
He better be listening.
Let me see if he's online.
Our Ptosis and
Tasteless, he's offline.
Their documentary will come out at some point, and the story will get told. But it always, like, a little part of me dies inside whenever someone, like, offhand references, yeah, our Ptosis, like, accidentally became a commentator, and now here he is. Our Ptosis actually reenacted the movie Roots. He, like, only almost just as bad. Like, he liquidated the $150 his entire life was worth, shipped himself to Korea, slept on floors, slept in stinky, sweaty feet closets, ate shit food, nearly died, lost half his hair, and had zero income coming in, and he carved for himself a casting job in Korea, and he worked to the bone and eventually became the Artosis we now know in StarCraft 2. But it kills me when people don't know that that guy, like, what's the worst story I can tell to give an example? I don't really have one, but he used to share a closet with two other guys.
What?
And in Korea it would be 120 degrees and they could smell each other's feet, and they slept feet to face, like, in a row. And he's like, no, it was good. They're my friends. But I actually died when he told me that. I was like, I would have just quit. In the Eastro Pro Gaming House. Holy Christ. I can't wait for that documentary, because his life story is... It better get told, by the way. If it doesn't get told, you can all join in with me saying it's a shit documentary, because that's an incredible story. Tasteless is very similar, only it's much more like a... Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like a Fear and Loathing Las Vegas version of that in Korea, only poorer.
Yeah,
that's about it.
That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate. All right, so... So, I don't...
Is he just not online?
He's not online, man. I don't have... I'm going to take another call.
Is this the first time?
Okay.
Second. It's going to be the second time.
No, one time was our fault.
And we talked about
this will be his fault.
It's going to be some crazy shit, man, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take this Paunch. Let's see. All right, we got Paunch on the line. Hello, Paunch. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to know why... Well, no hate to EG. I like all the EG guys on the show. But I was wondering why you never... I'm sorry, I can't hear you at all.
Well, I haven't said anything. I was waiting for you to finish your sentence.
All right. Because I can see the stream and it's delayed. Sorry. I was wondering why you don't vary up the co-host cast of the show, because...
This is a great question, actually. This is a great question. If you guys don't mind, I'd love to take this one.
Take it.
Let me give you a perspective from, like, the other end, right? Because I would say, like... Do you know how to set up and organize a weekly show with people every week? Because it's, like, one of the most difficult things to do, right? Like, Live on 3, for example, we have only one guest that changes regularly, and it is the biggest fucking pain in my ass every week, because I have to change graphics, we have to get... you know, organized all the times. We have to test the sound. We have to test the video and all this stuff. And so having a regular cast makes the show easier to do and allows the cast to create a chemistry amongst each other. So, like, we're Live on 3, it actually becomes you know, kind of interesting because of the wide variety of content that we discussed to have that on there. It's a very difficult thing to do. Like, I commend JP for as much as he mixes up State of the Game, because with all my other shows, I can logistically not do that from an organizational standpoint. I think Thorzane, Suppy, and In Control are three fucking really fantastic guys and dudes that are willing to speak up on the show. You'd also be surprised how many guys you think would be good in those squares, but actually are not very good on the show. So that's my reasoning. I don't know what the other folks think, but, you know, the beauty of it is that Inside the Game is the only StarCraft show out there. And you know what some variety means? That you can watch the constantly changing cast of State of the Game, of Meta, etc.
Yeah, there's not a... Some people, like, this is the old joke that always happens in the chat. Not saying that you were contributing to that, but there's always people who are like... I always read the comments. There's like, why is it all EG again? Well, it's a fixed cast, like Wheat just said. So that should be like one of the first signs that that guy's kind of an idiot, because it's not going to change. We're not rotating the cast. But the reason why every time there is a spot open that we're like, okay, who do we consider? I'm going to be honest with you guys. In talks behind the scenes, we don't just mention EG guys. We actually mention players from other teams, and then we go out and talk to them. And for one reason or another, they can't do it. From a commitment level, or like it just doesn't work out. It's not like we're afraid to have other people on here. It's just not. But then, as Wheat said, and I want to limelight this, I'm sorry guys, but in the StarCraft 2 community, there's actually not a whole lot of people that would be great on a talk show. And there's, it just so happens that EG recruits personalities.
There's actually also a lot of folks that can't dedicate the time every week, or don't, or, you know, honestly, like, you know, it's tough people are like, what do you mean? It's tough. You just turn on your mic and you do it. But it actually, you know, every week we have emails that go out and organize. Like, yeah. It's not really just flip a switch and the show happens. And so that, you know, that makes it more difficult in the grand scheme of things.
But I do agree with the sentiment that in the past there was too many times where, like, I mean, it's different flavor from different show. This is not a debate show, but. There was certain casts where it felt like we were all agreeing with each other pretty much too much, and like DJ Wheat would have to play devil's advocate. But it's nice because Suppy didn't have a childhood, and he's kind of like the young mascot of the team, so he argues with us, and Thorzane is like the brutal, neutral, godless land of Sweden.
And won't
so he'll
give innovation credit,
right.
You know?
He won't love innovation, which means he's willing to stare cold, hard logic in the face and just be wrong about it. So I feel like we've got a good vibe going now, and I think most people should be happy with it.
So, caller, we just kind of put it out there. I'd love to hear what you think about that.
I think it was a solid answer. I think I can always count on DJ Wheat to give the no bullshit answers to his viewers, because, yeah. And let's say I can remember every episode of the State of the Game starting 30 minutes late because Day 9 isn't there, or Tyler is not answering his Skype or whatever. He's not there. So I definitely enjoy watching Inside the Game. And, you know, I kind of got over the hate EG thing because that's what everybody on Reddit's doing. You know, it's kind of not really that important. I think EG doesn't do anything bad for the community, so there's no reason to, like, you know, bandwagon on them.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
And fuck Slasher.
Oh my gosh, yes. You got a prompt from your friend? Like, to tell us?
Someone whispered
Slasher.
That.
I love it. Yes. Shout out to your buddy who said fuck Slasher, because he's like, dude, you got to tell him to fuck Slasher, man. Like, it's the most important part of the call.
And,
fuck Slasher.
And I was wondering if it was my major picture that that drew you in to answer my call.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't, but when I realized that it was major, I was, you know, I mean, it didn't really change it either way. I know you're not major because I know what major Skype is, but, you know, like, who was it the one time?
Major has a lot of Smurfs.
I don't remember, but there was, anyway, that's a bad story because I can't actually get it out of my brain, so no, but thank you for your call.
All right. Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Thank
Guess
you.
What, guys?
Bye.
We don't have a goat lust.
Should we do another one or two and call it a day, I guess, and then really land them?
We can do one more, and then let's wrap it up.
Goatlust.
It's
not Goatlust. All right. This guy has a picture of Idra on that. Remember the picture of like doll Idra on your lap? I'm taking this one. Okay.
Doll Idra?
You don't remember the doll Idra picture?
No.
Okay.
It's the one where. Let me see. Wait.
Hey, just look it up for me, Suppy.
Here, I found it. I found it.
Okay, we're taking it. We're taking it right now. All right, we got me. Oh, Michi hung up. Why did you? Oh man.
Oh.
You got scared.
Because this is the real picture.
I'll take it. Put it in chat.
But that one's not edited.
All right, Michi didn't want to call. All right, I'm taking this last guy.
That's real, by the way. That's me leaning forward and him sitting back, and that's what the camera did to us.
Area code 201, hello.
And that was back when Greg was...
Welcome to Inside the Game.
Inside the Game?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hey, what's up? All right. Just got a quick question about what do you guys think about all the math hackers these days on the NA scene. There's been a lot of them in the Grandmaster ladder recently. I've been hitting them all the time. It's really annoying. You guys know if Blizzard's doing anything about that?
I want to answer the question, but can I just ask, what are typically your indicators? Like, what are your tells when you think someone...
Okay, well, not because I think you're lying.
I'm actually, like, genuinely curious, right? Because if you're running into it, there's probably some shit where you're like, this happens, and then I go back and I watch the replay. And
yeah. Okay, well, I'm a pretty high Masters GM player, Seth N. I usually post in the Grandmaster Map Hacker topic because whenever I play them, it's, like, so annoying. Like, I just can't deal with it. And usually I have to watch the game afterward just to tell, but it's always terrible mechanics, you know, blind counters, never scanning his chair, and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only guys I've seen get shut down, and I love to hear from you guys, the only guys I've seen get shut down real hard, real fast, is anyone who streams that shit. Because if Blizzard has, like, definitive proof that they can look at a VOD and be like, yep, then it seems like it happens immediately. I think it's everything else. Like, I don't know. Have you guys ever, like, reported? You know, I don't know. Any controls up here, Thorzane?
Yeah, I used to do that way back. Not anymore, though. That might even have been back in Warcraft 3 times. I used to report, like, everybody thought was hacking. Like, I wouldn't just do it like, oh, I lost the game. I would actually, like, look for proof and then report them. But then I guess I got lazy. Like, it takes up, like, 20 minutes. It did at least back then. I think now it's way easier. You just, like, do, like, a little right-click on the name and report. But no, I don't do it anymore. Actually, I don't think I've ever played... At least very, very, very seldom played against someone that I feel like, oh, this guy's map hacking. Like, it doesn't really happen to me at all.
Yeah, the biggest thing I ever experienced, like, I don't experience map hacking that much, I feel like. But I think the biggest thing that I notice is, like, when people stream cheat. It hasn't happened in a while, but there was a period of time where there was a lot of stream cheating going on that was really frustrating to play against. But in terms of map hacking... there are, like, questionable plays and stuff, but I don't encounter it often enough that I feel like it's a huge problem for me.
All right, that's pretty interesting, because it happens to me very, very frequently, like at least twice a week. It's really demotivating me to play ladder anymore.
Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, if you don't put too much weight on ladder, then it, like... A single loss to a map hacker shouldn't be, like, too frustrating. I mean, it's annoying for sure, but don't let it demotivate you, I don't think. Because, I mean, you're playing a hacker, it's not, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I think, like, at least in the level we play at, like, most people, you either know them or they are at that level because they are hacking. So they actually have, like, horrible mechanics. And then you're still, like, able to beat them because they suck, but they have map hack, so they can't play against you. So I think it might be a bigger issue, like, around the Masters kind of skill level.
Any thoughts, Jeff? Any?
Just in case you somehow didn't hear this in the past, they always ban in waves because there's always going to be, like, they want to shut down the hack. They don't want to just hit the first guy that gets it, because then the people that make the hack know that they need to update it. So there'd be a constant stream of hackers, as opposed to like a period of time where there's not no hackers, because they all get burnt down, which sucks. I know for us, because personally, I'd love it if there was 150 Blizzard sheriffs that just went around like nuking forever the hackers, because I think they don't deserve to come back on the game and play with us anymore. But that's just not real, or it's not going to happen. And I would say that the ones that are super malicious, the guys that get like the drop hacks and then they climb to the top of the ladder in a day, those guys get nuked real pretty quick, and they're usually very good about hunting those guys down and making it very clear that they're not welcome to do that. I feel like if the top 10 of the ladder was filled with drop hackers every day, then Battle.net would be in danger of becoming what it did in StarCraft into the early stages of Brood War, where the Battle.net was just not where you laddered. You couldn't, because it was overran by win bots and hackers and stuff. So as long as we're in this state right now, it sucks, but it's as good as it's going to be.
Word. All right. Well, we got to wrap up, but thank you for your call, caller.
All right. Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Take care.
Take care, dude.
Bye-bye. We still did not have a goat lust. I do not.
This one's his fault.
I'm a little scared. I'm going to send him a message. We miss you. Hope everything is okay. There we go. He's offline, so. All right. Let's wrap it. Who wants to start with our wrap?
I have to start. I always have to
lead
start.
With Thorzy.
Okay. He's
going to do it.
Spoopy, please.
Okay. Let's do this. Thank you to all the fans that came up to me at MLG. It's always very nice. MLG was, like, as the previous Anaheim, this was probably the best MLG I've been to. Like, I like all MLGs, but yeah, had a ton of fun. Despite losing quite badly, I still managed to enjoy it. So, thanks to all the fans that showed the support for me and for the game. It was a quite good turnout for StarCraft 2. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at EGThorsane, one word. You can watch my stream at twitch.tv/Thorsane. And of course, thanks to EG and our beautiful sponsors, Raidcall, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Razer, Astral, Intel Extreme, Words, and the new ones, Jinx and Need for Seat. And thank you, Marcus, DJ Wheat, Graham.
Thank you, buddy. Suppy.
Thank you guys for watching and tuning in once again. I think we'll be back next week, so you should tune in again. And you can follow me on the Twitter at EGSuppy. And my Twitch channel, I like updated it, and it's really beautiful. There's like nice pictures and stuff, so you can go there
it's
and check it out.
Superior Wolf, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/SuperiorWolf. Thanks to all the sponsors that Thorzane mentioned. And yeah, it was great meeting all you guys at MLG. Hopefully I can meet you guys again soon. Peace.
Battle.
Oh, yeah. I'm hosting a LAN event
for
all you people. Yeah. If you guys are in the Bay Area, it's on the Team Liquid TL community forum.
Oh, shit. Let me go.
Going to be lots of cool people coming. Jeff In Control Robinson, I heard, is coming.
Where the community.
Wait, you're hosting it?
Yeah, I've been organizing
under
these.
Under community news?
No, TL community.
Oh, TL
hosting
community.
Hosting as in he's putting it on Thor's and he's not going to be like the red
Bay
eye.
Bay Area land?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, Bay Area land.
I see it.
And I'm trying to get sponsors for it. So if you're a sponsor and you want to sponsor or you want to whatever, let me know. Hit me up. And yeah, it's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of people there with all. Yeah, I think. I hope. So, yeah, you should come.
8mm Spikes is going to be there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice.
Awesome.
It's in a while, though, so you got time.
A long while. Yeah. In control.
Echoing their sentiments in terms of thanks to our team, Evil Geniuses, and our lovely sponsors. Also, big shout out to everyone at Anaheim. It can't really be said enough, but it was one of the most positive events that I've ever been a part of and had a really good time. Although I didn't win as many rounds as I would have liked, even when I lost, there was incredibly supportive people on Twitter and at the event and everywhere else on the Messenger or on Team Liquid and Reddit and stuff. So just know that I read that stuff and that it really matters. It actually keeps me really happy and makes me feel good about what I do, and I appreciate it. Just the words you guys put out there, it means a lot to me. In the near future, we will be doing Role Play on Sunday, which is that Dungeon and Dragon game that we do. But I've been on a hiatus because of various reasons, so that's coming back. That'll be nice. Stay safe this weekend. It is the 4th of July, yes. Which does mean that people's hands get blown up. Don't do that.
Don't be dumb, people.
Do not blow up your hand.
Just think about how you will not be able to play StarCraft very well.
Exactly. Please.
Kind of excited. My first 4th of July ever.
Is it? Thorzane, for the love of God, man.
Don't blow up your hands.
Don't do anything dumb.
Well,
okay?
I've been around fireworks before, okay? Don't worry, guys.
I think you're a smart guy, but you know what? You get a couple drinks in you, and you're like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I stuck this thing in my butt and lit it
not
off?
Funny.
Don't
not
do
funny.
It. Do
but it sounds so dumb.
Stick anything in your bum, Thorzane, at all.
Exit only.
What? Why not? What's the worst thing that can happen?
Your anus will blow up, and you'll bleed out and die.
Oh.
Jeez.
This weekend,
try and be a Reaper. You should be a Reaper for July 4th. It's a good idea.
Yes, I should.
What? It's not Halloween, Subby. Please tell me what Halloween is.
No, that's not what I meant.
Well,
if he sticks two firework rockets on the back of his back.
Subby, don't ever let go of that creativity that's kept preserved. Number one mascot on EG.
You can just imagine Suppy's like, if we tape 12 of them together, we might be able to get you off the ground, Thorzane.
My God. Don't get my ideas. Please do follow me on Twitter if you haven't already. It's EG in control. Try to keep it light and funny. And usually it's a lot about StarCraft, but I do talk about everything else as well. No, not boobies. Not so much
said
boobs.
Movies.
Oh, yeah, movies a lot, yeah.
What did you think I said?
Boobies?
It sounded like you boobies? Said boobies.
Oh, movies.
Yeah, I do tweet about boobs every once in a while, but just Anna's. I can't really tweet about others. That's going to do it for me. Just, you know, again, just big shout out to everyone. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I don't have any gigs coming up or anything like that, so I will have to let you know when I do. All right, yours.
I've got Live on 3 tomorrow, but really because boobs were just mentioned, I'd like to give a shout out to Snoop Lion, who had an AMA this week, gave one of the best answers, I think, to a question when he asked, you know, Snoop, what subreddits do you read other than R Trees? He answers that one about dem natural titties.
Who's
thanks
Snoop
for watching
Lion?
Inside the Game. We'll see you next week. Who's Snoop Lion? Fucking who's Jekyll and Hyde? Damn.
Is it Snoop Dogg?
Damn. Yeah, it's Snoop Dogg.
What's
we'll see
the
you
lion?
Next
what's
what do you
the
mean,
lion?
What's
part?
The lion? Get with the program, Jeff. Are you kidding me? We'll see you next time on another episode of Inside the Game. We're out of here. Peace.